Welcome and thank you for choosing freeconferencecall.com. You're helping people around the world communicate for free. Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
So if you have insurance on it, will it cover the screen then or no?
I don't know. This has happened like an hour ago, and I haven't had time, so I could call them. I know I've delayed getting it replaced. I've been told several family members, oh, you should get a new cell phone, but I just am afraid I'm going to lose my data and pictures, and I want to make sure I have all my contact lists, because the other time it happened, I lost my contact list, and it was a pain, you know. So
That's true. I know my daughter, I don't know what service you have, but she has insurance on hers because she just got a new one the beginning of the year, and she did go ahead and get insurance on it because she tends to drop it sometimes. And I thought that the whole point that she got the insurance was because to get a new phone if the screen cracks. So maybe it does cover that. That's what I'm assuming, because otherwise, she doesn't. Mm-hmm. Generally, when it's brand new, you don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you very
much.
Let me just see. Yeah. Does anyone else come join us on the line? Hello.
Uh-oh.
No. Oh, hi there. Who's there? Is that Colin or?
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry. Who is that?
This is Colin.
Hi, Colin. Yeah, Lupe had to take care of a situation with letting her daughter in with the dog, and she's just running a little bit late, so she just told me to greet people, and she'll be here shortly. So thank you for being willing to be on tonight, and I just saw the attachment. That is awesome. Thank you for going to the trouble of getting that for us. So thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I must have missed it.
Oh, Colin, she has the attachment of the 13th. Where is it over here?
Here. I'm here.
Here she is. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States. Okay.
Yes. There's no callers on here, so I didn't have their email, so I didn't send it out to them. Colin, are you there?
I'd be here.
Oh, okay.
No worries. I'm trying to stuff my Facebook quick, so go ahead.
Yeah, Colin. I was going to say, if it's going to be a long one, everybody gets some crackers and water or something or some juice.
Yeah.
So that they can.
And anybody who has their computer or their phone, I sent most people on the list. And if you're on the call and you're not on my list, please send me an email at continuedcompetencytraining@gmail.com.
Yeah, I sent all the callers that were going to be on tonight the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America.
Good. If you don't have
somebody,
you can go online
right, and
look up Declaration of Independence.
Oh, and I emailed them that because we're going to begin that. We were going to begin that, Colin, honestly.
Right.
It was like, yeah. Yeah.
This is going to be this is a study call.
Right.
Hello, and everyone.
Hi. Who's that?
Hi, this is Kim. Colin invited me tonight. This is my first night.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
Who else do we have?
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, they're part of Illinois.
Hello, Colin and everybody. This is Jeff McArray calling in. Thanks.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Nice having you.
Is this a Jeff that we had a conversation on email recently?
You are correct.
Awesome. Thank you so much, brother. I want to really thank you. I want to give everyone a heads up. If I say anything that you believe is incorrect when you do any research, I want to be corrected. And I just feel so blessed because Jeff corrected me on or filled in some blanks because there was an issue. Apparently other people have the issue. I didn't have the issue, but what he did do is fill in the blank because upon this rock I shall, what is it? I shall build my church. And I always thought that the rock was truth. Well, it's not, that's correct, but what he filled in was what is the truth? The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Lord and God's only begotten Son. No one comes to the Father except through. So that's the truth, and that is, am I correct, Jeff, that is the foundation upon which the church is built?
Yeah, that's the rock.
Ruthie! Right. Hold on. Come on, get in. My daughter's dog escaped my yard. I mean, my basement. Come on.
I just want to say thanks, Colin, for your reply to me. I just read it a little bit ago, and I appreciated that. And at some point, it would be fun to have a conversation just about the editing and some of the fixes I did. And your point about acting as American citizens was also, it led me to a whole other line of thinking. But we don't need to get into that now. I don't want to take over what you guys are doing. I'm just here to listen and find out what this is all about.
That is the theme and will be the continuing theme until everyone realizes that they are not the name. They are not a name. They are not a carpenter. They are not, and I try not to use the word not, but in this case I will. You are not any of those things. They are labels. But this is how the enemy has controls us, is because we believe that we are the name. We believe that we're Sam or Jeff or Fred or Colin or whatever. And this is what the cracking of the eggshell of conditioning is about. You've been conditioned to believe. So let me do this real fast. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Wait, did you get the cat in or dog?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I got her. She's an English bulldog, and she escaped. I don't even know how. Okay, she's in.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I settled my five down.
Let me know when you want to begin, Colin.
Well, we need to begin with a prayer.
Amen.
All right. Lord, we come before you tonight, and we ask that your words be heard. And let the words that you want come out of my mouth, come out of my mouth. And open up the minds to the people so that they may see and come closer to you. And in your scripture, you say, for the lack of knowledge, my people perish. Lord, this is to fill in the knowledge. Let it be easy. Let it be virtually painless. And at the same time, open up the world that you have for us that has been in front of us all this time. And in all things, let you be glorified. So shall it be. In Christ's name, then it is so. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let me start the recording. And did you want a shofar blown?
Works for me.
Okay, let me just start the recording. I don't know if you know. Give me a second so I could start that. I don't know if you know, Colin. I ended up updating my app from conference, and I'm still getting used to it. So.
No worries.
Hold on. Let's see if I could find it.
The only thing I'd ask is that when people are not speaking.
The recording has started.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. People not speaking, it's best to mute out so that everyone else can hear. Otherwise, it can be an echo. And then I suggest maybe at some point when we get to a semi-full level, then we'll just do the question and answer session. And write down questions as you go so that you don't lose them because they're important. And hopefully everyone has the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America in front of them. Mm. Oh, my, is that good tea. Woo! I got this new this new peach tea.
Do you want me to so far now?
Yes, please.
Never, Colin is ready. Yeah, and then I'll be on mute also. Okay. Okay, Colin, would you like me to do it now or? Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Praise you, Lord.
All right. Thank you, Lord. What I want to do tonight is lay down the foundation. Where does this come from? Where are we at? How did, you know, and sort of how did we get here? And each time I'm going to try to relate it back to scripture. So let's do a little bit of history. This is a rough oversight, maybe not precise, but it gives you an idea. In England, before the settlers came over here, the Central Bank of England took England over. And within 2 years, England was broke. So I believe it's 2 years, close to that amount of time. So what happened was they heard about the gold that was in the Americas. So they sent out settlers, and of course, it was basically a gold rush. Of course, when they got here, they found out there was nothing here except for what they had stolen, what they ended up stealing from the Aztec Indians and so on. And that's another horrible story. But the bottom line is things did not pan out like they wanted. So essentially, the King of England abandoned the settlers. And most of the settlements didn't make it. Some of them just flat out disappeared. I believe that they basically blended in with the Indians. So that's the foundation that caused, and I say this because I believe this is God's word, the unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. This is God's word. But he had to set things up, kind of like right now, if you don't see something, you may have to feel it in order to see it. So we're going through the pain right now so that we can actually feel the difference. You know, Trump was the, you know, before we had rotten apple. And if I have a rotten apple in my right and a rotten apple in my left hand, you're going to choose the one that's least rotten. Sound familiar? Choosing the lesser of two evils. But if I put an orange in this hand, then you can see that this bright, wonderful, fresh orange, you're going to choose the orange over the rotten apple. And the irony of this to me is that this is I've been talking this way for I don't know how many years, and I thought all of a sudden last night God showed me, say, orange, orange, orange man bad, orange man bad. So in all situations, God has a sense of humor that I just happened to choose orange in my deliverance of speaking this years ago. And then God puts Trump in there, and they call him Orange Man. And, you know, so we now have a contrast between, you know, basically orange and a rotten apple. And what I discovered, because if you remember the Nazis tried to genetically get rid of a conscience, and they couldn't do it. But what I found out was that the banksters, because my whole study of this came from the fraud closures and unlawful tax sales. So what I figured out over a long time was that the banksters figured out how to render the conscience useless. And the way you do that is if you control the choices. Your conscience needs a choice, right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil. So what they figured out was if I give you a little bit of evil and a little more evil, well, you choose the lesser two evils. And then they move, you heard about moving the goalposts. Well, now we've got a little more evil and a lot, almost a lot of evil. So you see where we got to today. So now we have a lot of evil. And had Hillary gotten into office, Hillary, I call her for a reason, we would be much further along than what we are now. And people would not be objecting. Just the same old people like myself that have been objecting for the last 30 or 40 years, which is a small, minute people. So what God did by having Trump come into office, we now have a contrast. We now know what it feels like to have somebody in office that has our best interests in mind, that is doing things for the nation and doing things lawfully. It's not taking a wage, not taking payment for it, and so on. So now that we have this idiot who is an impersonator, in fact, all of them, by the way, we now have a contrast. And so that is to, if you will, incite. And yes, Trump is guilty of inciting. But what is he guilty of inciting? He's guilty of inciting people to have their voices heard, if you listen to what he said, to support the brave senators and congressmen that were going to object to the vote. So he is guilty of inciting. But what is he guilty of inciting? And that is the people to have their voice heard in support of the the brave congressmen and senators that were supposed to object, but they failed to do what they were supposed to do. Okay. And I'm covering a little few things in between here. And the reason that he called the people, I believe, from the very beginning when he did it, I knew exactly, I live right outside of D.C., so I kind of have certain concepts and views that other people might not. I believe the reason he called the people was to stop the huge amount of destruction that they had planned. Example, they found literally 10 to 20 propane bottles. Now, I know what to do with them. You might not, but the people who know what to do with them, trust me, it can cause a tremendous amount of damage in the right hands. They found the pipe bombs ahead of time. But because the huge crowds were there, because they claim when their president called them, it caused them to not be able to, no longer be able to do the incredible damage that they had planned. And in fact, if you look at the videos, you see that the crowd was so well packed that they couldn't get through the crowd. And they had to get two black SUVs to bring them to the front so that they could literally be delivered to the front of the Capitol so they could get into the Capitol and put on the show that they were paid to put on, which is why they had 5 or 10 camera people, media people there ready to videotape the whole thing. So the whole thing is an act. The whole thing was paid for. I got more evidence of proof, and I knew about it a long time ago. So anyway, moving on. So going back again, so we have the settlers that had to fend for themselves. They had to negotiate and trade with the Indians. They had to learn some of those customs. They were not accustomed to this environment, in fact. In fact, some of the first blacks that came over here were not slaves at all. They were free men, and they were paid to come over here to teach the settlers how to work the land. And, of course, after a while, some of them began to prosper. Well, the moment that they began to prosper, here comes good old England saying, well, we want to make this, this is ours, and we want to tax you. But at this point, God had already shown them that they did just fine on their own, even when they were abandoned by England. And if you also remember that there was pirates out there robbing them, and England was doing nothing to defend them, and so on and so forth. So I say all this because it's the foundation. Now, right around this time, what do you think came into being? A thing called a printing press, kind of like the internet of its time. Now, the printing press could have come around 10 years earlier, 10 years after, but it came at this precise moment. So this, I'm talking about the workings of, you know, I'm showing or drawing a picture here, hopefully, of how do you know God? You know God by what happens and the timing of it. It's all about the timing, the precision. So you have a people that have been independent, and you've got Britain doing its stupid stuff, not supporting them, as you will read here in a minute, that they basically addressed them many times in peace, and every time they got insult back. So they were praying people. From what I understand, they prayed a tremendous amount. When you read this unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, you will see that this had to come from God. Because remember, these people, they came from England. This was on for thousands of years. You had to have a king or a queen. You had to have somebody rule over you. I mean, we can't rule over ourselves. Oh, come on. So even though 2,000 years after Christ already paid the price, after Christ rose again, after Christ freed us, and we should have recognized that we now have a conscience in Christ, right? Born again in Christ's conscience. Well, this states it so clearly. So here we go. Let me also start with the title. Oh, by the way, if you have the version that I gave you, I see an correction. Where it says the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, please put the U into lowercase. Now, I'm explaining to you, there's a little fundamental things that everyone used to know. I am terrible in English. I'm terrible at sentence construction, but there's certain things that I've learned that are very, very important. When the letter is capitalized, the first letter is capitalized, it means that it is specific. So here, the is just representing it as the, stating that this, okay? Unanimous is a lowercase u. I apologize for having it uppercase. I was wrong for a long time. The reason for that is unanimous has its normal meaning, nothing special. It has its normal meaning that it is unanimous, okay? Everybody, all y'all. Declaration has a capital D because it is a specific declaration. Now, a declaration means what? It means that it is in the public. It is to declare, okay? Very similar to notice, no trespassing. It is to declare when you put it in the paper. That's why when they do these fraud closures, they put it in the paper as if that's a proper way of doing it. This is even more so. Of the 13, so there's nothing special about that. They could have capitalized it because it was specific to the specific 13, but it's hard to see the old script, but I believe I've got it right. It's lowercase. But please notice that united is lowercase u, which has its normal meaning of united, together. But it's states, and these are specific states, so they have a capital S, and they are states of America with a capital A because America is a huge continent. So in this case, when we're talking about North America or South America, we're talking about America. They didn't put Central America down because at this point, there are only 13 states which are on the East Coast. So they phrased it this way, states of America united together in this unanimous declaration. Okay, we got all that? Any questions? Okay. I'm going to go over the first part rather quickly because I want to get to what I call the meat. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary, so necessary in law is very, very important. For instance, if you commit a crime, you can be exonerated of that crime if it was by necessity. Okay? Now, it used not to be this way. So remember, this is new. We're creating a new law here. And I want to explain something to you. What this is actually a perpetual, means never-ending, perpetual, irrevocable. Irrevocable means, obviously, it cannot be revoked, it cannot be altered, it cannot be changed, cannot be diminished. Perpetual, irrevocable, express. Express because it's in the public. The declaration tells you it's express. It's in the public. Trust. Now, if you don't know what a trust is, that's part of what we're going to go over tonight, what a trust is. There's certain elements of a trust. If you don't know what a trust is, think of a will, a last will and testament, which many times are put into a trust. We have these associations which are trusts. It's something that actually is on its own. In fact, I'll go quick history on a trust. Back in the day, you know, was a 1500s, something like that, they used to, when somebody died, a landowner, a lord, whatever, died, they would, what happened was the state would take it over, okay? Or the crown would take it over because everyone was under the line of the crown. Well, after the Magna Carta, things were not like that anymore. And so what they did is they didn't want the government taking their stuff over because people became homeless, the families, the people been with them, the serfs that have been with them for a long time and so on, because these are huge estates. So what they did is then they started doing a trust. They gave it to the church. Well, they did that for a while until they found out that the churches were kicking the people out and not doing what they should. They were just taking it for the church. So they came up with this thing because contract law has always been around. So they created this thing called a trust. It's a form of contract, but it's a very special form of contract. It is, in a sense, sovereign in and of itself. You're creating laws within the body of itself. Again, think of a will. You know, this child is going to get the car. This one's going to get the house. That one's going to get that. Or as you know, as a trust fund baby, you know, the $6 billion that you be willing to own. Well, you're not going to let a kid at 12 years old have $6 billion. So you may have an oversight, and that oversight is going to be what's called a trustee. Now, there can be more than one trustee, and there can be different levels of trustees. The trustee is bound and obligated to perform in the intent as specified within the trust. Now, contract law is basically this. That which is not in the contract doesn't exist. And people don't understand this a lot of times because we make assumptions and presumptions. If it's not in there, it's not in there. It doesn't exist. If there's no authority for it. contract creates authority, but you must have authorization from somebody who is authorized or empowered to authorize. Why is this important? It's important because when you realize, when we get done with this, you'll see that in government, the government is our agents. We are the principals, but we're more than just the principals. We're actually the primary trustees, and they are the secondary trustees of the trust. We are also the beneficiaries of this trust, and beneficiaries have no duty or obligation except to benefit. And there's a reason I'm saying all this, okay? Trust me, it'll all show up later. So when you understand this framework that these are our, people call them representatives. That's actually a misnomer. They are actually our agents. Now, in law, as the agent does, so does the principal. That means that if the agent does something unlawful, the principal is also liable. Unless the principal can show that they were acting ultra vires or outside of the office. Okay? But generally speaking, you're liable for it. Think of it this way as an inventor. If I create something and that invention causes harm, I'm the liable party because I created it. Very important to understand this. Because who creates law? Who creates the government? The people do. So we're going to find that out here in a minute. So I'm laying a little bit of foundation here. So this is a perpetual, irrevocable, express trust. And as far as I know, we're the only country that has this as the founding document. Ironically enough, and the beauty about this is because the printing press came around, it was in fact unanimous because everybody either was able to read it who could read, or it was read aloud in all of the courtyards, which, by the way, that's where the term court comes from, and how you know that these courthouses are not proper because they're not done in the courtyard in the public, okay? So we'll get into all that. You need to know how it's supposed to work first, and then you can see how they have skewed it, changed it, altered it, and corrupted it. So let's go. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. That's why it is a declaration. It is in the public. They have declared it. Now, this is what's beautiful. When you speak something, as you profess with your mouth, so shall it be, unless somebody objects. And I have found this not only in prayer, but in life itself. But in law, it is particular. If you state something on the record and nobody objects to it, then it stands as true. And that's why I believe God, and for me, because I've been alone all my life until recently, I got to praying with other people. And learned a whole new thing. So maybe that's why, because I'm new to it, I'm able to see other things that people may not be aware of. And what I've learned is that we are supposed to counsel together when we pray. So that's why I do that pause. I say, so shall it be. And then I pause. And the reason I pause is I'm waiting for somebody to object, somebody to correct, somebody to amend, somebody to add on to. And whether it's they themselves who see it or spirit that gives it to them, until we have perfected the prayer, and then we say, we bring it to the present, because so shall it be? Well, when is shall? In law, shall means must, okay, but it doesn't put a timetable on it. And remember that 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years under the Lord. Well, personally, I got tired of waiting for I know my prayers have come true. There's never any doubt in my mind, but I got a little bit tired of waiting on it. So, you know, I wring my fist at God and blah, 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 and it ends up going, well, why don't you bring it to the future? It's like, oh, okay. So I say, so shall it be? I wait for correction from anyone or addition from Spirit. And then when we're done, it is without objection, it is so. Now we bring it to the present. And anyone who's been on the prayer calls with me knows that And then I think the last time we were on, you were having electronic difficulties until we made the prayer, and poof, the electronic difficulties are done because we bring it into the present right now. And we are in agreement. So usually with a group of people, we'll say, so shall it be, and they say, in agreement in Christ's name, because we're calling on Christ's name in my name, right? So it is so. So that's where I get that from. Anyone wants to correct me, by all means do. I'm open to it, but this is what I've been shown. So here's the meat. Now I make this specific here because there's a part right here where it says equal stasis to which the laws of nature and of nature's God, and look at that next word, entitle. Entitle is huge, 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 okay? But I want to focus for a second because what's on everybody's mind today is murder in the womb. Let's call it what it is. It's not abortion. You can abort trying to have sex with somebody. You can abort trying to shoot somebody. But you do not abort a living being. That is called murder. Okay? We've got, and words matter. They really do matter. So nature and nature's God. So we ask one quick question. The reason I say this is because Roe versus Wade, we have to be careful not to overturn the entire case because the principle that was being asked was, can the government tell you what you can and cannot do with your body? The answer is no. So if we throw that and overturn the case, then we throw out that principle and we're basically saying, yes, the government can tell us what we can and can't do with our body. That part of it was correct. And the reason this came to me is I was late at night, long story, but I very seldom ever turn on the radio, but I happened to turn on the radio, and I happened to bump into a PBS station where the attorney who did that case, a young woman, one of her first cases, has changed, by the way. She's now what they call pro-life. And so I got to understand a little bit more about the case. That was a long time ago, but it really made a difference. So now when I study law, I understand this. So we have to be careful to refrain from overturning the entire case. What we need to do is vacate that which is unlawful. The part that the court did which is unlawful was determining that life is not viable until the first, second, or third trimester. How do we know this? Well, here it is right here. Nature and nature's God says what? Life becomes viable upon conception. End of story. Life becomes viable upon conception. Because how do we know this? We have certain powers. We have certain authority. But we do not have power and authority as to determine when life becomes viable because that has already been determined by the laws of nature and nature's God. Are we clear on that? So what we need to do is vacate the portion of that case that is unlawful, unconstitutional, unlawful, without authority. How do I know this? Because we, the people, are without authority. Because we are not nature's God. You see how perfect it is. Once you get it, you get it. It's just so simple. All right, so moving on, I make that part. Anyone got any questions? These are little sidetracks, but I want to cover some of this ground to put people at ease and also to make sure that as we go focus, as Mark Taylor says, we need focused prayer. We need to make sure that our actions are focused at the right target because evil loves to give us distractions. Okay? In fact, real quick, I want to cover something that I was having a discussion earlier tonight on. And it's very important people understand this, and it's kind of an ironic thing. But again, if you know the truth of the matter, whether it's what you want to hear, whether it's not what you want to hear, you would discover more truth. So I want to share this with you. The first case that was given to the Supreme Court was obligated to dismiss it. Had the Supreme Court taken that case, it would have been engaged in treason. Why? A court that is without jurisdiction, without authority, and continues to do something, it is engaged in treason. And I don't have the cases in front of me, but I can give it to anyone who wants to ask for the cases. I have the case law on that. Now, how many here who want to, instantly you want to get upset and argue and go, what are you talking about? You know, the Supreme Court. Okay, I'm not saying the Supreme Court is good. No, absolutely not. that most of them are not in office properly. They don't have the proper oath of office. But we can't, in my mind, we have to stay with the law. We have to stay with what is truth. How many people here actually read the filing? Anybody? So if you haven't read the filing, you can't really say, can you? I have. And let me, and I'll spread that around. Anyone who wants to have a discussion about this particular thing, we can have a separate discussion another time, and we can go over it, and I'll send you the, a copy of what the filing was. I'm just going to do a brief here and show you. First of all, right away,
Colin, to be clear, you're referring to the state of Texas's state,
yes,
that was the first one that was dismissed that all the other states jumped on?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, and you said it correctly. The state of Texas. The first thing I knew right away when I looked at the caption, the case caption, it said the state of Texas. It did not say the state of Texas on behalf of the people. It did not say the state of Texas on behalf of the voters. It said the state of Texas. Now, I happen to know the state of Texas is a corporation subject to the state or Texas state. Let me be clear. Texas state is the du jour. The state of Texas is the de facto corporate entity that is replaced or substituted. All right? You have to understand that there's the de jure, which means the true, the righteous, but then you have that which has been replaced, just like we have fiat money. It's basically counterfeit money, because Article 1, Section 10 says what? Nothing but gold and silver shall be, gold and silver coins shall be used in the payment of debt. So that means that the Federal Reserve notes clearly is not gold and silver coin. So you could pay it all you want. You're not paying a debt, okay? But that's a whole other story. I'm just giving it as an example. Everything has been replaced in our society. The state of Maryland, the state of Texas, those are corporate entities. Go look them up under Dun & Bradstreet, okay? So, and that goes for your courts, by the way, all right? Same thing with the courts. They don't want you to know this, but that's why we're on this call, to find out what they don't want you to know. It's taken me 20 years of my life to discover all this. And we're talking 18 to 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, people. So we're talking about like real serious stuff. But thank God, God gave me that, I don't know what you want to call it, the gift, the tenacity to just keep on following these rabbits down the hole till there's no end of it. Till I finally hit bottom and go, aha. So that case, the filing of that case was the state of Texas. Well, okay, how is a court, and here's another people don't know. Most people are led to believe, here come the judge. The people think that the judge is all that. The judge ain't nothing. The judge is not supposed to be anything but a referee. And by the way, the reason why we have sheriff's deputies in there is to make sure that neither the judge nor the clerk nor anyone else does anything improper to violate your rights. But see, they have been mistrained to believe that they're the handmaiden of the judge or the clerk. They're, oh, yes, ma'am. They jump too. All right? That's garbage, because they have been mistrained. For the lack of knowledge, my people perish. And the reason I'm going to keep pushing this, because this is the truth of the matter, and when you get the truth of the matter, then the solution becomes obvious. So in that case, the state of Texas would have to prove how it was injured in order to have a claim, in order to have a cause for action. That's why it's called a cause. Think of the courts as this way. You're the big brother, that's the courts, and the little brother comes over and goes, he kicked me in the knee. Well, your big brother's not going to go beat the crap out of somebody just because he said that you kicked him. He's going to walk over and go, did you kick him in the knee? He goes, yeah, but he punched me in the nose. Did you punch him in the nose? Well, yeah, but he called me. Did you? Back and forth and back and forth, and finally, he might end up giving both of them a whipping. That's really what it's supposed to be. The courts are only supposed to be a last resort between people. We're supposed to, you stay in honor, you're supposed to try to go and make it right with your brother three times. Then you go to the court, and that's when you give jurisdiction to the court. If there is no claim, the court is without jurisdiction. If it is not a valid claim, or one that, as they call it, plausible, not just possible, because anything's possible, and not certain, but plausible. And there's a whole dissertation on plausible, but I think you get the idea. So if it's plausible, and you have a claim. It says two things are required. You must have a claim or a cause for action, and you must have somebody making that claim. And if you go look at all these fraud closures and almost all the other suits, you don't have those elements necessary to give jurisdiction to the courts. It's all just assumed and presumed. This is the darkness that people don't even know is around them. But I get, and maybe you guys haven't been to court, but I get calls all day long from everybody, you know, recently trying to help people to stop these courts from taking their property, from stealing their property, from stealing their kids and so on under color law. They're corrupted. Okay, so
one quick question. How does the, because I'm listening to all this and I'm hearing a lot from other sources talking about the issue of standing. Is that synonymous with what you're talking about?
No.
Or is standing different?
No, that is standing. That is, do you, okay, well, standing is one of the elements of a cause for action. In other words, let's say that you got punched in the nose. Do I have standing? No, because I didn't receive the injury. So I have to have standing. I have to have a, but it's similar to what I'm saying. You have to have a claim and a claimant. Somebody who has to claim that they were injured or that they have some interest in it. There's a case that I read one time where they were trying to save the trees, I believe it was, up in the Redwood Forest. And the court said, you had a great case here, but there was only one problem. You never once said that you were going to go and visit the Redwood Forest or that you intended to or you knew somebody that was there. They never showed that they had any quote-unquote interest. Therefore, they had no standing. In other words, you have to have something to lose, particularly if you're doing an injunction. You want to enjoin something. You have to show that you have something to lose or that you have lost something. Or you have the potential of losing something in order to have standing. Now, you can have standing and still the court doesn't have jurisdiction. So it's a little bit different. So that,
Colin, yeah. He does not have standing, and that's why the court said they couldn't hear the case, or was it something else?
Number one, they didn't have standing. Number two, they didn't have a claim. And number three, they didn't have a claimant.
In Article 3, Section 2, though, it does say that the judicial power shall extend to all cases. It says to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, to controversies between two or more states, mm-hmm. between a state and citizens of another state.
Yep.
I mean, that's Article 3, Section 2.
Absolutely, but where's the controversy?
Well, because of the fraud. It frauded the whole, it was a federal election.
Oh,
the controversy was because Georgia violated the laws, didn't go to the legislature, right? Then there, because of that, wouldn't any state have a standing to sue them? To file a claim against them?
Not the way it was phrased. If they came in the state of, as I said before, at the very beginning, I'm very precise in what I'm saying. If they had come in the state of Texas acting on behalf of the voters or on behalf of the people, then they might have standing.
But in Section 2, it does say state against state.
But that is the de jure state against a de jure state.
Okay.
Not a corporation against a corporation.
It says controversy.
Yeah, that's how they're able to wiggle their way out of that, right?
No, it's if they wanted to bring an action, they could have brought it to a federal court, perhaps. And if they wanted to bring it a claim because of the criminal activities that were going on, fine. But they didn't do that. I'm telling you, you really got to read it. All of the elements, I mean, this is what I'm saying. When you realize that they did everything wrong, they forced the court to not give them jurisdiction. They forced the court to not have jurisdiction. So now you have to ask yourself, A, are they really that stupid, or did they do it on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Which side are they working for? Did they do it to sabotage?
That's my question.
Bingo.
Where, I mean, if they're lawyers, they should have known how to approach it, but
I guess, like you say, whose side were they on?
Well, exactly. And that's when you start looking for it, okay? That's why I really don't want to, I mean, when I, like I say, when I first looked at it, even the case caption showed me that they were, and then, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I could probably get it. Let me see if I have it here. The reason is, I mean, I was so furious when I got through reading it. They even had a part in there, guys, that said, what was it? That it was, they kept using these ridiculous terms. It is possible that the state of Texas could act as the term that they used was basically the parent for the children. They didn't say they were coming in as the parent for the children. But think about what they're saying in that statement. They're saying that the voters, the people, are children. And we were going to be, and that they were going to act as the guardians on behalf of the children. I mean, it's so insulting, it's not even funny. They never made a statement. They never made a claim. They basically kind of Lily tiptoed around it, begging and pleading, and they didn't even beg and plead. And they didn't make a, they never made a claim. They never asserted anything for sure. They had a little list, I think it was on the second or third page of things, but they were simply assertions. They didn't present actual evidence that could actually be looked at in that opening statement. I mean, I don't want to go into all the details. Like I said, we can have this long conversation. We could go through it in detail and what the law says and what it doesn't say and so on. But again, you have to understand what the word controversy means. They have to correct it within the state first. Did they do that? I mean, that's another thing. The state of Texas. Who were they suing? Of the other states? But that's between the states and the states. How is Texas, the state of corporate legal entity, the state of Texas, injured as a result of fraud in another state? The state wants to commit fraud. Hey, well, what can you say? If it wants to present votes that weren't votes, well, you know, okay. Now, somebody in that state could have sued the state, and then that could have been appealed to the Supreme Court. Now, I'm actually going to be going to the Supreme Court on a totally different thing. And I'm going straight to the Supreme Court. But the case that they brought could have been heard in a federal court. There was no jurisdiction of the Supreme Court because there was no appellate. There was no case to appeal. Yes, state against state. If the state is a party to it, how does it say, and ambassadors and any action where a state is a party to the action. Well, you first have to be a party. They weren't a party. None of the people in Texas voted in Georgia or any of those other places. I get the overall insight, and yes, that's what's so ironic about this. It was the perfect deception, let's put it that way. It got everyone to believe, oh, the Supreme Court is terrible and this and that and the other. And guess what? They're right. The Supreme Court is corrupted. There's all sorts of problems with the Supreme Court. But this, in this particular, the Supreme Court was correct.
Well, as we see, optics are very important and people need to be shown. So,
yes.
But thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate that.
No problem. Because once we realize that this was either A, done on purpose, or they're really stupid. And I think it could be both. Because I have yet to find, and by the way, lawyer, in my mind, lawyer means to be educated in law. And most of these people are what we call attorneys, which in my definition of attorney is at law, not in law, turning it upside down to bring the people to their knees, attorney. Okay? And they are educated by the BAR Association and BAR Association accredited colleges, which is BAR has been determined by Congress no less than two times to be a socialist organization. It is not a government organization and it has no government oversight. The most ridiculous. So we have a monopoly over our teaching and training and requiring certain things that they have no authority requiring of almost all the attorneys. And guess what judges are? Judges are attorneys that couldn't do it in private practice. So you're getting an idea of what's actually been going on right under our noses. But why? Because we, as the primary trustees, have not been doing our job. We have ultimate oversight over our agents. We have ultimate oversight over our trustees, the secondary trustees, which is what they all are. We are the primary trustees of this trust. the Constitution, the United States corporate entity was created, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but the United States itself is a corporation. That's why I'm specifying that this is a lowercase united here. It's states of America that are united together, which is different from the corporate entity, United States. Can somebody tell me why the corporate United States was created? Why do you create a corporation in the first place? Why do you create a legal entity? I'll give you a clue. LLC.
Money.
Insulation for the most part. Yeah.
That's right.
Liability is insulation, yeah.
Bingo. Limited liability. You want to limit your liability. If I have a private business and I sell you something or I do something because I am sued and I have my house, my home, and everything taken away from me. But if I create a legal entity, that legal entity, which can sue and be sued, ends up getting sued instead of me. So I don't lose my home. That's the original intent. It was a reasonable intent. But of course, we have these criminals that create fake corporations to get away with.
Why would they need to make the United States a corporation? I mean, could you just file the United, if you filed the United States as not a corporation, who would you be suing?
The people.
If it wasn't a corporation and the United States did something, you know, who would you be suing?
The people.
The people that, I mean, if it's Congress, if it's, you know, politicians.
Before the Constitution, remember we had the Articles of Confederation for several years.
Right.
And under the Articles of Confederation, right, the debt from the Revolutionary War was not getting paid. So instead of the people becoming enslaved and liable, which we just broke out of being liable, we created the United States Corporation to take on the debt. Now, it was to do more than just take on the debt. It was to ensure that it would get paid, get the alleged creditors off our backs so that they would say, okay, fine, then you got to pay us. And so the United States was created, and it could tax corporations and legal entities. That's why
that we could borrow money from Britain as the corporation to bail us out.
But remember that, okay, hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. The debt was owed before we created the United States. It was the Revolutionary
Right.
War. The Revolutionary War was fought under this trust, this unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America
Right.
Trust. We established this new body, okay? And it was a trust Mm-hmm. created. Now, I sent most, I don't know if you don't have it, I'll send it to you again. The case that you want to read is Dartmouth College. It's a great case. And that case was about where there was a trust that was created before the Revolutionary War. And it was a college that was to teach Indians how to become, if you will, more European so that they could fit in and make a life and so on and be educated and so on in the English ways, if you may, however you want to phrase it. But it was
the 1819 case, that 1819 court case, the College of Lumi?
Yes. So
yeah. Versus Woodward.
In that case, you will find where the court concluded that it was in fact a trust, because what happened was the state was trying to take it over. They said, well, you know, out of the Revolutionary War, you know, the state can take it over. And they said no. And you go to Article 1, Section 10 again, no state shall make anything abridging the obligation of contract. So that's a foundation. If you had a lawful contract before, you have a lawful contract afterwards. Okay? So, and this is extremely important to understand that too. If you had a lawful contract before, that contract was lawful, it's still lawful. Just because you had a revolution doesn't mean that the contracts are no longer lawful. So what the Supreme Court did, and rightfully so, they said, no, you cannot take over, you cannot alter, you cannot change. This is a trust. It was created as a trust. The land was donated. The money was donated by the people who owned it. Even though they were from England, it doesn't matter. They owned it lawfully. So that case is a good case to explain that. What a trust is and how I discovered that this document, the Unanimous Declaration of 13 United States of America, is in fact a perpetual irrevocable express trust. And this is extremely important because This is the founding document from which every form of government is derived from, purposed for, subject to, and anyone in any office or position of public trust is bound thereby. Okay, so I'm a little fearful to go on sidetracks because we might get lost in the sidetrack and not get back to this. So I want to get back to this. So everyone, let's just clean our plates about the Supreme Court stuff and all that, okay? Because all that's going to come out. We can, as I said, if there's enough people who want to do a deep study on that, we could do a deep study together. We'll read everything and go through it. We'll break it down and we could see what the elements are and what elements are not there. And what we can do, for instance, I'll give you the quick, simple solution. I'm putting together, as soon as I get together with certain people going to help me, hello, that I'm going to bring an action, a deprivation of rights suit. And it has not, I don't need to prove any fraud because we already know, remember, they're criminals in action. You got wolves in place. So you have to, how do you get around it? Well, you find where they have not created an algorithm. Think about you're on YouTube. They've already created an algorithm for fraud. If you use the word fraud or voter fraud, no matter how you use it, your thing will be shut down because they have an algorithm in place. And I've learned this in cases too. I win cases and then somebody does the same exact thing and they don't win because they create a new algorithm to stop it. And that's where they came up with sovereign citizen. So they also plant stuff. You remember, the evil is always doing stuff all the time. So they planted this whole thing about sovereign citizen movement. And then they sent notes around to the sheriffs and the deputies and the police. Anyone calling themselves a sovereign citizen, you arrest them right away. They're a cult. They're a this. They're a that. Well, there was a Supreme Court case about that as well. And the Supreme Court was correct. And the guy was really upset. I said, well, no, what they said was correct. They said that you cannot come in the capacity as a sovereign because, as the court said, if you're sovereign, you don't need us. That should give you a clue. If the Supreme Court says, if you are sovereign, then you have no need to come to us. We cannot have jurisdiction because you are sovereign. Isn't that interesting? And the people who have brought common law cases to a common law court, they create a common law court, and we have to discuss about how to do that too. It's not that hard. If you have a common law court and it's been done properly and somebody tries to appeal to the court, do you know what the Supreme Court said? We cannot overturn what the people have already done. Isn't that interesting? So the Supreme Court, at least back then, recognized the superiority of the people in the common law courts. And if you go read more in law, every decision is supposed to be founded on common law. So that tells you, again, what we're having a hard time here is you've got to separate the wheat from the chaff. They're so close together that, as my friend said, they're growing together. The wheat and the chaff are growing together. So you're seeing one thing and you think it's the other. The whole idea is to understand how is it supposed to work? What is the proper way to work? So then, the guy, unfortunately, the Supreme Court said, you have a great case here. But the guy got stubborn. He dug in his heels and he refused to come in under a different status. He said, no, I'm a sovereign citizen. That's it. And they said, you can either be sovereign or you can be a citizen. Which one? So, and we can discuss, you know, what that is. You can never be a citizen, but you can act as a citizen. Anyway, so let's move on to the meat because I want to get to the meat of this. This is so profound and so proficient. So wipe the slate clean. Let's go back to the 1776 when this was put out. The mindset of this here, that this is God putting this together and telling mankind for the first time that we are essentially sovereign. We are unique, that we are born and created equal. All right, so let's read it. And this part we need to memorize. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And the only way I know to say is any dummy can see it kind of thing. That all men, and I want to stop here real quick and let's go ahead and cut short. This is my way of stating it. Do it your own way. But this nonsense about gender and all this other nonsense, a real simple thing. You've got man, and then you've got man with womb, woman. If you ain't got a womb, you're a man. If you got a womb, you're a woman. I don't care what genitalia you have. I don't care what kind, how you dress yourself, what kind of makeup you put on. No, you don't. What shoes you wear. Doesn't matter. If you got a womb, you're a woman. If you're a man, if you don't have a womb, you're a man. End of story. So when they use the word man, there, it's all inclusive. All right. So we get over that nonsense. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed, not granted, not given. God does not give us rights. That we are endowed. It is part and parcel to us by their creator, not by man, not by government, not by some king or queen or some other dictator, endowed by their creator with certain, which is the opposite of uncertain, unalienable. This word is so important. You get this. It is not inalienable as everyone has been taught to believe, and they will try to tell you it's the same thing. It is not the same thing. Inalienable simply means you cannot be alienated from it. But it doesn't mean that it cannot be leaned, cannot be altered, cannot be changed, cannot be negotiated, cannot even be plea bargained. If it is unalienable, it cannot be altered, diminished, aliened, traded, or diminished in any way, and cannot be negotiated. That's what it means. Unalienable. These are God who endowed us with very certain unalienable rights. That among these, now notice the word among. That means that there's many of them. So let's go, just to prove that, go to article, which one is it? Article 9 of the Bill of Rights. They're not amendments, they're Bill of Rights. The first 10 are the Bill of Rights. The other ones after that are amendments. We'll get into why that's important. The enumeration of certain rights in the Constitution is not to be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So clearly we have many more rights other than these here. But among these, we can all agree unanimously that we all have the right, endowed with the right of life, liberty. And, you know, the last time I did a study on liberty, it's an amazing word. I cannot even have words.
Amen.
It's huge, people. Life, which is the first thing.
You know, it's interesting, Colin. So many people I talk to, they use that word, but like in that famous line, I don't think it means what you think it means. And they don't understand the power and the potency of our individual liberties. I agree with you. It needs to be a big part of this education. But sorry for interrupting.
If you have a definition for it, please, brother, because I'm it's so huge and so big and so amazing that I don't even have words for it. So please do your own study. Pray about it and do your own study on that word, on that one term, liberty, because it's beautiful, people. It's beautiful. And you don't find this anywhere else.
Well, you know, what's interesting is when you just look it up, the definition that you see, the first definition I see is liberty is the ability to do as one pleases. And the beauty of that idea is that liberties are individual. And as long as your expression of liberty doesn't interfere with another person's liberty, it's free.
That's correct.
That's the way I always think of liberty. Liberty is that which you can do to your pursuit of, to fulfill your pursuit of happiness, so long as it doesn't infringe on someone else's liberty.
You're absolutely correct, sir. In fact, we're going to do a quick sidetrack since you started it.
Sorry.
You're going to be blamed. No. Here we go. Anyone have the case that I brought to you, Hale versus Hinkle?
I sent that out also. They should have that.
Then let's do a quick sidetrack because this is extremely important that since we're on liberty. Let's go ahead and discuss that. And what my brother just said was so long as you don't trespass, all right? So this is here. Now, I use Hale versus Hinkle not as law, and I always put, anytime it's not your writing, people, always put it in quotations, particularly in court cases. Always put it in quotations. Otherwise, you become liable to it, subject to it. The whole idea is to remain sovereign, to never give up your crown, so you quote it. So what I do is I always quote it, or I say, Hale versus Hinkle expressed it, in the most eloquent way, I would say something to that effect. In other words, I'm trying to say something, and it may take me 5 pages. But to save time, I'm going to go ahead and use this here as the best way that it has been expressed. Hale versus Hinkle, please go down to page 12 of 21, and you will see a purple section beneath it, a large yellow section. We're going to read the purple section. And if you haven't figured out by now, purple is the highest frequency. That's why I put maxims of law kind of thing in purple. Yellow is not necessarily bad. It just means pay attention. Okay, here we go. Listen to how it's phrased. The individual may stand upon his. Now, whenever you see his, you know you're talking about a living man. The individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen. That word, A-S, is extremely important. It's a little bit like, it depends upon what your definition of is, right? This is extremely important. Yeah, that's, you know, when he said that, I actually said to the person next to me, I said, okay, that's the new name of the new terrorist organization. Was I right?
Good call. That's funny.
I don't know if God doesn't. Do you know I knew about the World Trade Centers 2 years before it happened? And I forgot all about it. When I saw something on the television, I almost choked on my sandwich. I jumped up, I pointed at the television, I said, you watch, they're going to take those buildings down, blame it on a terrorist organization, and take our rights away. What happened? They took the buildings down.
Yeah, there was chatter about that stuff, yeah.
So anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked here. We can talk about it. The individual may does not mean must, does not say shall, and in law, shall means must. The individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen. I can come in as a citizen. I can come in as one of the people. I can come in as an idiot. I can come in as a husband. I can come in as a wife. I can come in as anything. That's why I do the cracking of the eggshell. You are not the name. You are not a carpenter. Jesus was not a carpenter. He was a man who did carpentry. You see, it's so important that we release ourselves from this nonsense of these labels. I just had another graduate from college today. So is there anyone out there who doesn't have a college degree and would like one in about 30 seconds? Anybody? Oh, you all have college degrees then?
No.
Who here would like a college degree in 30 seconds?
Jeff, I'll take one.
All right, here we go. I want you to think of something that matters to you. You got it? Now, I want you to put that into a box. I want you to close the lid. And I want you to put a label on it that identifies it best. You got it?
Yep.
Congratulations, you just graduated, because that's what they teach you in college. They teach you how to put things that are real into a box and put a label on it so that you can manipulate it, control it, and take the life out of it.
Right.
That's why I say one of the best things I've ever done was put people over my knee and spank them even though they're adults. Because the butt, when they get a spanking, all of a sudden reality hits them. The term spanking means nothing until you feel it on your butt. And that's what God does a lot, because we need it. We keep putting letters and names on things and putting them in little boxes and going, putting it over here, abortion here, abortion here. It's not abortion, it's murder in the womb. Let me stick a knife in your gut.
Correct.
Let me take a big, huge, giant vacuum cleaner, because I used to work on When you dig up for passageway for ships, dredging. I work for Norfolk Dredging Company, and we have the hoses that are these big, huge things that are 3 feet wide. Let me just go ahead and stick one of those over your head and let your leg suck you into a million little tiny pieces. then you'll have an idea of what abortion really is. It's not abortion. It's murder. Oh, don't get me started on that. Okay. The individual may...
Hold on.
Huh? Sorry?
We're going to move on now?
Yeah, sorry. The individual may stand upon his constitutional rights as a citizen, period. So that's a statement of fact. He is entitled to carry on his private business in his own way, period. Full stop, sentence, complete statement. His power to contract is unlimited. He owes no duty to the state or to his neighbors to divulge his business or to open his doors to an investigation, so far as it may tend to criminate him. He owes no such duty to the state since he receives nothing therefrom beyond the protections of his life and property. Now, let me break this down for a second. What is that statement saying? It's saying that you have a reasonable right to rely upon the protections of your life and property from the state without any obligation or duty thereto. That kind of negates the whole concept of taxes, doesn't it? His rights are such as existed. They existed by the law of the land long antecedent or prior to the organization of the state. So long before we even created the state, these rights existed.
If we don't receive anything from the federal government or the state government, why do we need to pay them in taxes for what?
No, but we are, you're missing the point. We are supposed to receive something from the state. We create, look, let me ask you a question. Do you create a bicycle to ride you or for you to ride it? Now, does that bicycle tax you? Does that toaster say, oh, no, no. You have to pay me before I'm going to toast your toast?
No.
Okay, so when you understand everything, and we'll get to it in a second. It expresses it down here in a second. Everything that man makes is what? For man. It is to benefit us. That includes all legal entities. Let's continue. His rights are such as existed by the law of the land, long antecedent to the organization of the state, and can only be, listen to that word, taken from him by due process of law and in accordance with the Constitution. Both of those things must be there. It must be by due process of law, and it must be in accordance in accordance with the Constitution. If either one of those is missing. No, they can't take, and notice they use the word take, and there's a reason for that. Among, here we go, this is the part I really want you to hear, among his rights, does that sound familiar? Among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Among his rights are a refusal to incriminate himself, listen, and this is here, music to my ears. And the immunity of himself and his property from arrest or seizure except under a warrant of the law. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read things, God has things jump out at me. And what jumped out at me was that word the. A warrant of the law. Because if you go to Article 4 of the Bill of Rights, the right of the people to be secure in the person, house, papers, effects shall not be abridged, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by affidavit, clearly describing the person, place, and the thing to be seized, right? Well, clearly they're saying, and no warrant shall issue. Here it says the warrant. Excuse me, a warrant of the law. Now, that should make you ask a question. Well, what is the law? Can anyone tell me what the law is?
The supreme law of the land, the Constitution.
Try
the supreme law of the land.
Partially, but what else? But that's a warrant of the law. What does that mean in this case? What does the law point to in this case? It would have said the supreme law of the land if it meant it. So what does it mean by a warrant?
The law of the state?
Huh?
The law of the state?
Again, it would have said that according to the law, this is state law. And this has to do with a warrant of the law. The law is just a law.
I don't know that.
Anybody else?
Well, it looks like it's referring to an entity that's acting in a certain way.
Bingo. Well done.
I don't understand that. What do you mean? What do you mean?
A warrant of the law. We are the law. That means it requires man to have an affidavit, a sworn affidavit, pertaining to that which caused the warrant to be created. And no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by, it's a requirement, supported by affidavit, clearly describing the place to be searched and the person or thing to be seized. In other words, they have to have knowledge of a crime. They have to have firsthand knowledge of a crime.
That's correct.
So if you don't have an affidavit, if you don't have an affidavit, you are immune from seizure or search, aren't you?
Correct.
Well, they can't get a warrant without it, correct?
They're not supposed to. And an officer signing it is not sufficient. They're just merely signing the charging instrument. They're not signing an affidavit clearly describing what it is that they are a witness to, that they have firsthand knowledge of.
I don't want to carry on. I don't want this conversation to drag off, but at some point later, I'm going to ask you about a warrant of the law so that I can understand what law, the law you're talking about. But
the law,
that'll be later.
The law simply means man.
Under a warrant of man?
That's right. Which means no thing, no state, no legal entity can accuse you of anything. There must be a man involved. There must be someone who makes the accusation who has firsthand knowledge. These people who are acting in the persona of the state.
Yeah, I didn't see it any other way. That's reasonable. You can't do it any other way, so that's why I didn't catch that.
Okay. Continuing, here's also the final one that I wanted to get to, but we had to go through that. He owes nothing. Does everyone understand nothing, nothing? Not a zip, zero, no taxes, no allegiance, no yes, sir, yes, ma'am, nothing. Nothing to the public. So long as he does not trespass upon their rights, which goes back to what Jeff was saying a little while ago, the definition of liberty.
Liberty. Correct.
Now, real quick, I'm just going to read this real fast so we have the difference between apple and orange here. Upon the other hand, the corporation is a creature of the state. It is presumed to be incorporated for the benefit of what? The public.
Public people.
Oops.
We.
Oops. So why is it that the people have become slaves of corporations? It makes no sense.
We're dumb.
There's no authority for it, is there?
When they're talking about the corporation here in this paragraph, are they talking about the state, or are they talking about like a business that a person would have, or how, what is the context?
A legal fictional entity.
Okay, by anybody, me, anybody?
Any legal entity, not a body. But somebody means man. Legal entities. You'll see later on, I'll scroll it down. You'll see it is, in fact, let me find it for you real quick, the definition that this judge made. And I've heard even a better one, but he says it. Let me make sure I find it here. And then I'll share it with you.
You know, while you're looking, it's interesting, Colin, that this corporation, which is a creation, right?
Yep.
Of man, that's a legal entity that's created, is also, it runs back to what we were talking about in your email, where we're responsible for our creations, right? Mm-hmm. When our creations run amok, then we have to bring them back into line. So this is one of those examples where if the corporation, which is a creation of ours, runs amok and gets in trouble because of malicious behavior, that's looks like that's what they're talking about here. But on the other hand, if the corporation, which is a creation of the state or the individual, yeah, it's interesting.
You like it, huh? You see how I'm fitting it all together?
That's good. It's good.
So when you realize that the state, so in other words, you could take this, I can't find what I'm looking for, but I know it's here. He says that a corporation is a mere legal entity, and I've even said it, a mere legal entity that exists only in the minds of men. Now let's go back.
Yeah,
you go look at statutes, codes, rules, or regulations. What do they apply to? They only apply to persons. You will not find any statute, code, rule, regulation, or constitution where it says man, woman, people, public, or inhabitant shall or shall not do anything, because there's no jurisdiction over man, woman, people, public, or inhabitant. It uses the word term person, which goes back to something that when I was a kid, I never understood why God said he is no respecter of persons. Now it makes perfect sense. Persons are created by man, personas. God did not say he's no respecter of man. He said he's no respecter of persons. So the definition that the judge says here is that it is a legal entity that only exists on paper, basically. It's a creation of man. Here's the easy way to think about it. If everybody left this country, what would happen to the government? It literally wouldn't exist. But now remove the government, what happens to the people? Well, we just go on doing what we've been doing with Leslie Burdenson. So let's leave this whole thing. Really quickly. Upon the other hand, the corporation is a creature of the state, is presumed to be incorporated for the benefit of the public. Yeah, exactly. You create a bicycle to ride it. You create a toaster to toast your toaster. You don't want them arguing. You don't want them taxing. You don't want them harassing you. It receives. Notice it never said anything above us receiving. It receives certain, which again, not uncertain, certain special privileges and franchises, and holds them subject to, there's the word subject, the laws of the state and the limitations of its charter. Its powers are limited by law. It can make no contract not authorized by its charter. If it's not there, it's not there. Let's go to Article 10 of the Constitution, Article 10 of the Bill of Rights.
The power is not delegated.
Thank you. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the several states, shall be reserved for the states respectively or to the people. So what is that telling you? If it is not delegated, they ain't got it. And it's the same thing with the state. If they didn't give it to you, they ain't got it. Okay? Limitations of its charter. Its powers are limited by law. It can make no contract not authorized by its charter. Its rights to act as a corporation, are only preserved to it so long as it obeys the laws of its creation. Now, for me, I remember that being Article 3, Section 1. The judges, both of the Supreme and the Inferior Courts, shall hold their office during good behavior, which means anything less than good behavior, and they don't hold that office. What is it saying here? Act as a corporation only preserved to it so long as it obeys the laws of its creation. So if it's not obeying the laws of its creation, if it's acting ultra vires of its charter, then it's acting outside of it, which means it no longer has those special franchises and can no longer act as now impersonating. There is a reserved right in the legislature to investigate its contracts. So it is open to have its books looked at, investigate its contracts, and find out whether it has exceeded its powers. That's why we have, we have the inquiries into the government.
Oversight?
Not FISA. I'm thinking of FISA. What's the
not
other?
A FOIA
request. Thank you. FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. Yes. That's why we have FOIAs, because we, the people, have a right to know what our government is, our creation, our legal entity, are doing at all times to see if it has exceeded its powers. It would be a strange anomaly to hold that
that's happening every day.
Yep. It would be strange anomaly. Well, see, this tells you how we were supposed to have oversight. It would be a strange anomaly to hold that a state having chartered a corporation to make use of certain franchises could not, in the exercise of its sovereignty, inquire how these franchises had been employed and whether they had been abused and demand the production of the corporate books and papers for that purpose. Now, let's go back and let's replace corporation with state and state with people. Upon the other hand, the state is a creature of the people. It is presumed to be incorporated, is presumed to be created for the benefit of the people. It receives certain special franchises and privileges and holds them subject to the laws that the people have created and the limitations of its charter, namely the Constitution. Its powers are limited by law. It can make no contract not authorized by its charter. Its right to act as a state are only preserved to it so long as it obeys the laws of its creation. There is a reserved right in the legislature of the people to investigate its contracts and actions and find out whether it has exceeded its powers. You see, now it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the state is sovereign in respect to the legal entities that were created by and through it, but the people are sovereign in respect to the state because we are the creators of the state. And God is sovereign in respect to us because God is the one that created us. We did not create the state with free will. God created us with free will. A legal entity has no conscience, which is why we have to have statutes, laws, and codes. The reason is because we are using the statutes, laws, rules, and codes in order to give it as close as we can get to a conscience. Are we clear on that now? I guess we are. Okay, so this goes back, that was a wonderful little sidetrack, to give us an idea of what the term liberty means, and I'm going to repeat the last term on here. This is the law that we live, we don't live under any law except for this one, which sounds an awful lot like love thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is likened unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself, which is actually three. Love yourself, love your God, love your neighbor. They're all the same. Because you can't love God if you're not loving yourself, and you can't love yourself if you don't love your neighbor, and you can't love your neighbor if you don't love God. Well, the same thing is here. He owes nothing to the public so long as he does not trespass upon their rights. And now you know what it means here when it says a warrant of the law. You have to have injured somebody. The only difference between that, the only exception to that, is a thing called mens rea or malicious intent.
So is that warrant of the law applicable to the corporation? Like, you know, to have them open their books? I mean, does that apply to the corporation as well?
Can you specify your question?
So in the yellow highlighted part, we're talking about the corporation, the creature of the state.
You do not have to have a warrant of the law in order to do searching the books of a corporation. The corporation, look, do you have to have a warrant in order to go and clean out your toaster?
No, it's my toaster.
Thank you. And if that toaster clogged up because you haven't cleaned it and it starts a fire, who's responsible?
Me.
Thank you. So when our legal entity, our government, goes around and declares, without declaring war, goes and invades a country and kills a bunch of people to create a drug cartel, who's liable for what we've allowed our agents to do? There's two sides to this deal. That's why this is so important. How can we be blessed by God if we are derelict in our duties? And when you realize how many people are being murdered in the womb, and we're talking about 65 million people murdered in the womb, innocent people murdered in the womb, and we're worried about a measly 36,000 people that might have died from COVID? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a whole other tangent there.
Yeah.
It's like a distraction.
Right.
If I get fired up, people, it's because it's a righteous anger. So let's continue. Let's start again. And this is the part we need to memorize. So read with me, please. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Here's the mission statement. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, clearly letting us know not over men. Now this is that we're going to get to this part because this really needs to be clarified. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Who's the governed? And if you already know the answer that I've already shared with you, then just let other people answer it. Who is the governed? Of the time, if you ask people who the governed is, they will say us, we the people. Well, how is that possible? We don't create a government to govern us. How do I know this? Because I don't have the authority to govern you. You don't have the authority to govern me. And you and I cannot come together in a contract and contract to govern somebody else. So it is impossible for us to grant powers that we are without. Always remember that. If you don't have the power, you cannot grant power that you are without. Simple as that. So who is the government? Well, let's read the whole thing. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And this is the way that God showed me to share it. Would you give me the keys to your house if I did not consent to being governed by your rules? No. So now we know who the governed are. Those that volunteer to be restricted, we've already said how many rights and powers and everything else that we have as an individual. We are going to hold a position of public trust. We are now going to be restricted to the persona of that position. And we are now going to have those limited powers because we're working under the auspices of that corporate or legal entity. So we hold that persona of that legal entity. We represent in everything that we do. So we must consent to being governed by the position itself of this legal entity. And in doing so, we are granted certain limited and just powers, just enough to do what we need to do. And they are true and righteous, just powers in order to accomplish that which we're supposed to accomplish, which is what? To secure these rights and to provide for their safety and happiness. Are we clear on that now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Now, if you don't believe what I just said, let's move on. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, what ends? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, mission statement, that to secure these rights, governments instituted among men, not over men. So that whenever any form of government or anyone in a position of government, because government can't do anything without people, becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or what? Abolish it. Now, why is that important? Because if you're not the creator, how could you possibly be authorized to abolish it? Again, it tells you, again, we are not the governed because the governed would not have the power to abolish it, would they? So now it's perfectly clear. It's the right of the people to alter, abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles. What? The new government has to have its foundation laying on such principles. What principles? That all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That's the principles this is founded upon. You see, this trust is so beautiful. And organizing its powers, whatever powers it has, they're to be organized in such form as to them, the people, to seem most likely to effect, cause, bring about their safety and, hello, happiness. Quick side story. I was doing a call years ago on the Desert Isle, I don't know, it was 15, 20 years ago. It was called The Law of the Contract. And this little old lady came on, and she didn't have time. I was teaching the law of the international flag. Very powerful, by the way. And she said, I don't have time to make my flag and make my laws. And I said, okay, are you willing to be a guinea pig? She says, yes. I said, I want you to go in there. And I just knew she was one of these, you know, strong people. I said, I want you to get that judge's eye. You look him dead in the eye with all your might, and you tell him, I am not happy. And you stare at him with that stern look. And everybody on the call is like, what? Are you crazy? I said, that's exactly what the judge is going to ask. And when he asks you what, you sit there and say, we did not create the government to rule over us, but to provide for our safety and happiness. I do not feel safe, and I sure as hell am not happy. And then shut up. Well, we had to wait 5 days to find out what happened. Of course, we're all on pins and needles. Case was dismissed. I doubt you could get that to happen today, but she nailed it. She did it right, and that's exactly what was exactly precise. We didn't create the government to do anything but provide for our safety and happiness and to secure these rights. So people don't know this, but here you have two things. We have an unalienable right to pursue happiness. We created government to secure these rights and to use the powers that we grant them, the limited powers, to effect or to cause, to bring about our safety and happiness. How many people know that? How many people know that the government was created to give us happiness? Now, if you don't believe me, anyone who has the best, what is the name of that document? The best unanimous declaration, is that the name of it? I believe it is.
If you the unanimous declaration of the 13th United States of America, you talk about that one that we're looking at?
No, the very beginning of it says the best.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have one that says best. Comma, the unanimous declaration, comma, constitution, comma,
yes,
18 definitely. USC.
That's it. 241, 18 USC 241. 18 USC. Scroll down so you see 18 USC, United States Code 241. What does it say?
If two or more persons aspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any inhabitant of the state, territory, commonwealth, or
hold on. Somebody needs to mute out, please. I'm going to mute them.
Sorry, should I start over?
Please.
Yeah, I don't know who that was.
All right, so it says, if two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any inhabitants in any state, territory, commonwealth, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, or if two or more persons go in disguise on the highway, that's obscure, or on the premises of another with the intent to prevent or hinder his free exercise or enjoyment of any right, liberty, or privilege so secured, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and if death results from the acts committed in violation of this act, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, they shall be fined under this title and or imprisoned for any term of years or for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. That's the end of 241.
All right, did you guys hear that? If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any inhabitant in any state, territory, or commonwealth, or district in the free exercise or the enjoyment of, that's a big smile on your face, or the enjoyment of, doesn't that sound a little bit like pursuit of happiness? Doesn't that sound like a little bit, right. Says, and organizing the powers in such forms as them to seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness? That's positive law, isn't it? And going in disguise on the highway sounds a little bit like people in uniform, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does. It was a curious statement. I was interested in your insight on that.
Well, I give you the quick breakdown on that one. When they turn that siren on, unless you have done something, now, if you're recklessly endangering the public, he has a duty to protect the public. But if you're doing it other than that, okay? If he turns on that siren, he has already assaulted and battered you. Go look up the sirens and what they do to the nervous system. If he turns on those lights, those bright lights, those blinking lights, they also cause problems to your psyche. So he has already assaulted and battered you. And then if he puts that spotlight in you, again, he's assaulted and battered you. He then interrogates you. When he asks you to roll down that window, he is now interrogating. When he asks you for your license or anything, he is now interrogating. Did he Mirandize you? And I get cases thrown out all the time and say move to strike the entire record. Why? Because they weren't Mirandized. That means any information he got off of you, anything, it's not admissible in court. Fruit from the poisonous tree. So he's already assaulted you three times. He now threatens and intimidates you because he's carrying a weapon and his badge, and you know he's a knucklehead. And by the way, what's the most dangerous piece of equipment he has on his person? It's that radio. Because when he calls for backup, they don't care what's gone down. They know one thing. They're coming after you. They're hunting you. They're dangerous. These people are dangerous. They don't know the law, and he doesn't have a warrant. What did we just read? The immunity of himself and his property from search and seizure except under a warrant of the law. No exception. No exception. So he doesn't have a warrant. He's not observed you recklessly endangering the public or doing something that would harm would harm the public. He's now assaulted you three times. He's now threatening and intimidating you. And he's now interrogating you without doing a Mirandization. He then causes you, under threat and duress, to sign an instrument, which becomes a security instrument, which he then utters and passes to the court. The court then acts as a debt collector without a license. You add up all the years, and if they send it to you the mail, that's another 20 years. You add it all up, one ticket amounts to 100 years for everybody involved. That's the clerks of the court, the courts themselves, and the judges. By the way, if he releases you on your own recognizance after getting your signature, but if you don't sign it, he's going to take you in. He just acted as a magistrate, didn't he? He's not authorized to be a magistrate. And when you start realizing that every one of these cases have the same thing, 18 U.S.C. 471 through 474, the creation, the possession, the altering and passing of counterfeit instruments, that's what they are. Because when you do, and trust me, I've done tons of study on this. When you sign something under arrest, that's considered to be a forgery. It's a counterfeit.
Interesting.
And every single one of those tickets, now this is where we're going to get to the voting part. Notice that those in most states, those tickets come in triplicates, don't they? Three different copies, three different colors. And they all have the same unique number on those, don't they? Now, somebody please explain to me how they could do that for a ticket where they're going to get money off of you. Okay, he has kidnapped you, by the way. What does it say in there? He has kidnapped you until you sign, hold and restrain until you get something in return. So he has kidnapped you until you sign that instrument, which is an instrument of value because it has your signature. Because what you don't know that I know is you're a creditor. That's why they want your signature. So when you put your signature on it, you have given it the credit. You've given it the value.
Now, hey, Colin, I thought it was you that mentioned this whole idea of signing the word by before signing your name.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yep.
Now, remind me, what exactly does that do? I'm sorry for the sideline, but
not a problem. When you sign something under the all uppercase name, look at your driver's license, all uppercase name, that's the term, not capitalizations, all uppercase. That is what's called the assumed name of a legal entity. When you sign underneath, right, you become the surety. Surety is like a surety bond, and you don't have any rights except to provide. So you go in as the defendant. The defendant is already found guilty, and you are going in there to defend as to why you're guilty or why you haven't paid.
Interesting. So I'm trying to make a habit of every time I sign even a credit card receipt, which often has my name in all capitals.
Yes.
If it has my name at all in there, I just sign it by and then my signature on there. Just
absolutely.
Make a habit of doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you really want to add to it, you really think of something, you can put NA at the end, which does not mean not applicable. It means non-assumset, which means assuming no liability. But the BY merely means
BY, then my name, and then NA.
NA, yeah. I mean, it's generally, I don't do it. I just do BY because I know how to defend that. I know how to say, no, that's not my signature. It's not my signature. I sign on behalf of the legal entity. I'm merely the authorized signature for the legal entity.
So when you sign by, is it lowercase?
Yes, by.
Okay. And the name, lowercase?
Yeah, well, you sign in your normal way. If you really wanted to be if you really want to be super technical, you would BY, and then you would sign exactly as it is on there, which means you put everything in all uppercase letters printed. But you're merely acting as an authorized signature. If you go look at a checkbook, you'll see that line you sign on, take a magnifying glass, it says authorized signature, authorized signature, authorized signature. Hidden in plain sight. For the lack of knowledge, my people won't.
Yeah.
But it's also for the lack of understanding. You see how the reason I wanted to go through all these different ones, I'm showing you proof of the pudding here. I don't need to, because this is the trust. This is the founding document. It is a trust document, and it spells it out just like you have a will. If you said $336.22 in Canadian coin shall go to so-and-so, the trustee has no authority to do anything else other than that. And the beneficiary has no duty or obligation to do anything but benefit. And what do we read here? He owes no duty to the state since he receives nothing therefrom. In other words, even though he receives the protection of his life and property, how are you getting the protections of your property if the state's taking it because you don't pay them an extortion fee? By the way, anybody raise your hand or you know, whatever, raise your hand if you're paying property taxes. Okay, I'm going to ask a simple question.
We have a conversation about that.
simple thing here. I go straight to the meat on this one. Would you please tell me the name of the business? Would you please tell me what section of that property that you're engaged in that business, what type of business it is, how long it's been around, and what money was made off of that section of the property for you to pay an ad valorem commercial tax? It's called the CITIS. I was in court one time against this judge. I actually won the case against. And I said, well, where's the CITIS? He goes, what? I said, where's the CITIS? CITIS, sorry, S-I-T-U-S. He goes, how do you spell it? I said, S-I-T. You know what this idiot does? He goes on Wikipedia. I said, sir, I don't think that's very reliable. I happen to have American jurisprudence here. And if anyone doesn't know, look up American jurisprudence. They are subject to it. I have American jurisprudence right here. The term CITIS means what is the site, the CITIS? What is the area? Think about it this way. You owe 10,000, you own. You are not the owner. You are the one who owns. The owner is a legal entity. You are the one who owns the property, and on it is oil. And you have leased a certain section of that, a quarter acre or half an acre or an acre of land for the drilling to be done. Now that is a CITIS. It is the site of the drilling. And whatever you're leasing or if you did a portion of the oil coming out, that is taxable against, that is part of the property tax because you're engaged in some business or profit-making business off of the land itself. And it has to then, it still has to be through some entity of the state. If you're doing it privately, nobody can say squat. But if you're doing it under the name or an assumed name, you see, it keeps coming back to the same thing over and over and over again. The difference between your given name and the assumed name. That's why every business out there you will see, Home Depot, all of these businesses have all uppercase letters because they used to know. You have to know who you're dealing with. Are you dealing with a man or with a proper name who can do business? Or are you private business or are you dealing with a business entity? Now, the exception to that is like Coca-Cola and other ones, upper and lower case. But if it is an upper and lower case, you will see that that little circle has an R for registered trademark.
Right.
I didn't know this. You did. How many people know this stuff? It's right in front of our face. We were never taught this. This was common knowledge.
Owning a business is a great way to start learning about this stuff because a lot of it you have to understand in order to get your business filed legally, if you're going to do an LLC or a corporation of one sort or another. It's good to at least get some legal counsel about that. And that's where I've got. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for 35 years, so I've had some experience with some of these legal terms and trademarks and registration and all that stuff.
And everyone should have a business just so they get this education. I'll give you a quick story, which will throw you the example. I'm getting served papers by a server. And, you know, I use every opportunity to educate people, particularly in the legal field. And so he finally ends up listening to me. Usually they're like, you know, getting assaulted by people. But he tweaked an ear, and he comes back, well, maybe you can help me then. I said, okay, what's the problem? He says, I have an LLC. I'm like, yeah, okay. He says, and I'm getting charged 100% taxes. I'm like, okay. How many employees do you have? One, you. Yes. Okay, how much do you get paid every time you serve a paper? He says, $75. I said, oh, how much does the business get paid? He goes, $75. So I think for a couple minutes. And I go, well, when was the last time that the LLC paid you? And he looked like a deer in the headlights. Why? Because he thought he was the LLC. He did not separate the accounts. You're supposed to have a separate account for the LLC. You're not supposed to commingle. And that LLC has one employee. I already established one employee. Who's that? Him. But the LLC never paid him. So it was 100% profit. Remember, what is taxable? It's not gross. It's net income. What is net income? Your gross income, that which is incoming, which is not wages, by the way, not by contract. It is income, that which is incoming to a legal entity. Then you have costs. What are the costs? Well, it's supposed to be paying him $75 every time. If the LLC wrote him a check and paid his employees like it was supposed to, what would be the net income? Zero. No taxes.
Correct. Hey, Colin, real quick on this matter of property taxes. I've been doing some research on this because we won't get into all that, but I ran into this interesting idea called a land patent.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about that and how it pertains to taxability of a property and more importantly, proper and perpetual ownership of the land that you have purchased or that you have a real estate transaction for?
Okay. Well, you were doing real good till you used the word real estate.
Well, I did it for on purpose because I know that real estate isn't actually real or an estate. So,
well,
the land patent is also what I'm interested in.
Real estate is taxable. And in Maryland, they really trick you. They use the term real property. But it still has mm-hmm. to do with business. Real estate and real property have to do with businesses. Private property is non-taxable. It's private property. In the old days, you used to have like the hardware store down below and the people lived up above. Which section was taxable? Was the hardware store, if it had a name, it was acting under some LLC or corporate entity, body, or legal entity. But the home where you live is non-taxable. But let me ask you a question. Do you reside at your home or do you live at your home?
Oh, I read through this. That's right. I live in my home.
Very good. Businesses reside. Why do you think they say, well, where's your residence? And you're like an idiot. You go, oh, I live over here. You said I live here, but you're answering the question of residence. Where's your residence? Over there. What's the address of your residence? And then when you answer them, didn't you just admit that you have a residence, which means you must be a business?
Right.
It's all correct. Done by tricks. Tricks because people don't know what's going on.
It's quite solid.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we pay property tax on a home?
Because you don't know any better.
We shouldn't. Right.
I do know. I'm going to tell them you said I don't have to anymore.
Well,
I'm sitting. No problem.
Are you engaged in any business on your property?
No.
Then why are you paying an ad valorem business tax?
Because they send the bill every month to my
That's right.
My mortgage company.
All right, let me tell you, you do not want to go after the bill collector. See, this is another clever thing they do. They frustrate you with all of their legalese stuff. Here's what happens is most people don't know anything. The first thing they do is they go after the bill collector. And they don't even know how to do that. They're saying, I don't owe the money. The bill collector has only one job. That's to collect the tax collector, rather. The tax collector only has one job to collect the taxes. You want to go after the tax assessor for falsifying official documents. That's how I won a case in Pennsylvania. They were doing the negotiation, you know, the prelim. We got it to the, what do they call that thing? What you called it a minute ago. You're not actually in court. You're not negotiation, what do you call it?
Arbitration.
Thank you, arbitration. So we got them into arbitration, but we were able to call them to the stands type of thing. So I told the guy, I said, look, I said, I want you to look directly at the attorneys who are suing you, right? They're actually doing it on behalf of the state trying to collect the money. I said, I want you to ask them if their firm, their legal firm, their attorney firm pays taxes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, do you pay them out of your account or do you pay them out of the account of the legal firm? Oh, out of the legal firm. I said, fine, then give me two checks. I'll be glad to pay the taxes on this property. They knew exactly what was being said, but was so funny. He sitting there and I didn't tell him what the answer was. He goes, it was so funny because he did exactly what you said. I had to wait. I thought, uh-oh, Colin's wrong there. But sure enough, he said, after we left and they did basically dismissed the case, when they were in the hallway, that's when the guy came up to me and goes, what's the other check for? Does anyone know what the other check is for? The first check is to pay the taxes of the legal entity that owes the taxes. Well, since there is no legal entity, it was impossible for them to give you a check from the legal entity that you were the authorized signature of in order to pay the taxes on behalf of the legal entity. You with me so far?
No.
As the authorized signature on behalf of the legal entity, you know, go ahead and give me one of the checks from the legal entity, the all uppercase lettered legal entity, and I would be glad to be the authorized signature, and I will sign that check for any amount that you say are due and owing. What is the second check for? Can anyone tell me?
$25.
Thank you. All right. Can anyone tell me what the second check is for?
I muted.
For my legal services.
The simple answer is this. I don't work for free.
Right. Pay yourself.
You wanted me to sign.
So is what you pay yourself taxable? Is what you pay yourself taxable?
Only if you're doing it on behalf of a legal. In other words, if you had a check signing business under an all uppercase legal entity name, then yes, it would be taxable on that legal entity. But if you're getting paid by a legal entity to engage in an activity you have contracted to do, which is called wages, no. Wages are not taxable.
Period.
An honest day's work deserves an honest day's pay. You are not a legal entity. What did it say? Your power of contract is unlimited.
So then I just pay myself my net profit, and then I don't have any taxes.
What?
Right. If I pay myself, if I own the business, right? I own the business. If the business, the legal entity pays me for working there, the net profit, then there's no taxes left on the business because there's no net profit now. You're in the red, right?
Exactly. Okay. You got to do it right. You can't do it to try and evade taxes. You can avoid taxes.
But that's the gist of it, right? But that's the gist.
But let me explain how this works. Let's flip it. Let's do the flip side. This is what I call chasing the rabbit down all the way down to the end of the hole. Let's say for 1 second that you are a legal entity taxpayer, because remember, a taxpayer is subject to the state, right? Are you a subject
right.
to the state? In other words, did the state create you? No. So if the state
no.
create you, you cannot be subject to the state. Let's begin with that. But let's say for a second, for argument's sake, let's run this all the way down. Let's say that you are a legal entity. Let's say you are a taxpayer. Let's say that you are subject to the state. Okay. So you are basically a machine. And as a machine, you have to have your oil changed. You have to have your bladder bled. You have to have food. You have to have it cooked. You have to have someone answer the phone. You have to have somebody to change your diapers. I mean, change your pants and get you dressed in the morning to wake you up to the alarm. Somebody to set the alarm clock. Now, every single thing in related to this machine has to be, it's called maintenance. If you've ever had a business, like I got a forklift, I have to put a new seal in. That is a cost of doing business. So I deduct, plus the labor of taking it apart, putting it back together. I then have to change the oil. I have to put a new filter, the cost of the oil, the time, the energy, get rid of the oil. I have to do all of those things
you would have to pay somebody to do, correct? Every single one of
correct.
Them is a paycheck. I got to pay somebody to answer the phone. Okay, that's 10 cents, that's 20 cents, that's $20. Well, now we have minimum wage of $15, and I don't work for less than 1 hour. So even if I only answer one phone for 10 minutes, that's still a minimum 1 hour charge. Because that's how I contract. That's how I roll. So now you got to pay me for answering the phone, $15. I answer it again, it's another $15, okay? Now somebody's got to wash this body. Okay, well, you know, hey, you get a nurse to wash your body. How much do they charge you? Okay, on site. They got to come to your house. What you're going to end up seeing is that the cost of doing business, you're always going to be in the red. And remember, it's not gross income that's taxed, it's net income. So go ahead, call me a tax lawyer, and I'm going to deduct every single thing, and I'm going to make sure that I get paid. I'm going to be writing, and then I got to have somebody to pay to write the checks. So somebody's going to sit all day long and write these checks for $15, for $10, for $15, for $20, for $30, for $50. Now they're going to get paid as well. So the whole thing is ludicrous. By the way, that may sound crazy to you, what I just said, but let me share something. I literally used that technique to get $64,000 worth of bills completely discharged in the state of Maryland for somebody else, an older gentleman. I never do it for myself. These are experiments for educational purposes only, but I'm telling you the truth that I have tested these things out.
I'll be your test dummy. I got some bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See you later.
I'm trying to say Louisiana. I'm all for it. I'll report
that. Let me explain something. That is not a solution. It may solve your problem, but that does not solve our problem. And we are all one.
No,
we go one, we go all.
Okay. That's right.
We have to solve the problem. The problem is corruption. The problem is that we have failed to maintain the training and the teaching so that these people in offices of public trust know what we're sharing tonight. That they know that the only reason that government exists is to secure these rights and to provide for our safety and happiness. The fact that they don't know that is the problem. We have dishonorable people in office. Go to Article 6 of the Constitution. You should memorize these. This Constitution, I'm doing this off the top of my head. Almost everything I'm telling is off the top of my head. This Constitution, laws that shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Bound thereby. Bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding, which means standing, not. The senators or representatives before mentioned, as well as the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. You cannot support something if you do not know it. You cannot support something if you do not understand it. And you cannot support something if you do not believe in it. That's why the federal judges, including the Supreme Court judges, the last, as far as I can tell, the last five presidents, and ironically enough, including Trump, unfortunately, all of your federal judges and most of your state judges and all your other officers are not properly seated. They're imposters because they do not have the required oath of office to support this Constitution. What they have sworn to do, raise their hand and said, I will protect and defend. Now, what's the difference? Well, I can protect you and not believe in you. I can defend you and not believe in you. But I cannot support you if, number one, I don't know and don't understand and if I don't believe. You see, the words that they use were very, very precise for a reason. And they mean what they say what they mean. That's why when you go to the statutes and codes, they have definitions. They have to be precise.
Well, they make it so complicated.
No. You think they're complicated because you have failed to read them in the way they were meant to be read.
Oh, I have failed to understand them in the way I should understand them because I haven't made me... You know, I haven't separated me from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I have failed. Yeah.
And that, see, this is where I came to the discovery that when I started reading all the statutes and codes, including the entire IRS code, including the 1,500 pages of amendments, by the way. And let me tell you, that is a year and a half study. I mean, it's you.
Now, Colin, you have an amazing mind. I mean, You have an amazing mind.
Well, thank you, but, you know, you have to thank God for that, because when I first started out, I was like, what? And anyone who wants to learn how to read court cases, by the way, I'll give you the trick. Read court cases from the bottom up. Read court cases from the bottom up. Find out what the conclusion is first so you're not disappointed after reading for 2 days. And it also makes understand. And the other thing is you don't just read, you study, which means sometimes you read it several times to get a comprehension. And if it says subject to section 236.4b21, stop what you're doing. Do not overlook it. Stop. See, this is another trick that they use. People just keep on reading. If it says subject to section 241b2 and 6, stop what you're doing, go to that section, read it, and now apply it to that section. Otherwise, you'll misunderstand it.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier that when you realize who you are, you know, that you're not that name. You're...
Here's a short version of that. Know who you are and what you are not.
Yeah.
Or say for little kids, I have a little ditty for kids. I'm a who and you're a what, and whats are not allowed in the who pool. Oh, that's good.
One day we're going to talk about lawful money.
Okay. No need. There's no need to talk about it. Currency is currency. There's nothing wrong with currency. There's nothing wrong with fiat currency. As long as it benefits the people.
Mm-hmm.
And currency is actually the right way to go. People want to go back to the gold standard. Do you know anyone know what the gold rule is?
I know what the golden rules are.
I know. What's the gold rule? Anyone know?
No.
He who has the gold rule. How many times you hear the argument going, the difference between communism and capitalism? This is the argument now, right? Oh, we want capitalism. We want capital. No, isn't capitalism still an ism?
It's an ism.
Okay, so what is the rule of capitalism? He who has the capital rules. What we want is the free enterprise system, going back to the settlers. People used not to have capital first letters on their names. Do you know why you have a capital first letters on your name? Is because that means that you do business under that name, but it's private business. Only lords had capital letters in their names. Only those that could engage in that kind of contract and business. Remember back in those days, if you weren't a lord or something like lord or governor or somebody, you weren't a somebody. You weren't allowed to engage in business. It all had to be done through your lord and master. Oh, yes, Martha. I'd like to buy this horse. Can I? Right? That's how they didn't know any better. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. They didn't know any better. This is why people keep magnetizing. It must be in our genes to magnetize towards being slaves and servants. And I think there's a part of it that people don't want to be responsible. But that's not what God gave us. That's not what God called us to. And that's why God wrote this, because man was unable to conceive of it. And God put this in writing, that all men are created equal.
It's a great document.
It's an amazing document. And once you understand
it's a trust,
it is a trust. Let's go and read this part again down here, right? That whenever any form of government becomes destructive, these ends, it's the right of the people to alter, abolish, or institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Well, what are they telling us? What is being said here? First, any form of government that becomes destructive of these ends must be altered or abolished. And then new instituted, laying its foundation on these principles. It didn't say we had a constitution. We didn't have a constitution. We had Articles of Confederation. We already went through that. We had Articles of Confederation. But because of the debt, we had to create a corporation. There's nothing wrong with the corporation. There's nothing wrong with that toaster. There's nothing wrong with that bicycle, as long as it doesn't jump up and start running you over or burning your toast. What do you do with a toaster that starts burning your toast, your bread? You try to fix it. If you can't fix it, you throw it away. And I have a weird sense of humor, but one time I was seriously thinking of coming into court with a toaster and putting it on the side and saying, I represent this toaster and I want to sue my owner. just to drive home the ridiculousness of what's going on when a corporation sues you. How is it possible that a toaster can sue? It can't. Same thing with a legal entity, unless malicious intent. If you do something maliciously to destroy or harm property, then, of course, that's a different story. Now, let me also be clear. Those that hold positions of public trust are subject to the position. That's why they can be charged with a crime without mens rea or anything, because they're violating their oath to support that position. A totally set of different.
Yes, and most more of them need to be held accountable for breaking their oath.
Exactly. If you work for Hewlett Packard, or let's say you work for McDonald's, and that you get caught not washing your hands when you're supposed to, you can be fined. You can this and that, and you will go to McDonald's court. But why are you the customer going to McDonald's court? McDonald's court has no jurisdiction over you whatsoever. But that's what's going on.
Anyway. Well, we have to think that's why we're here, right? We're here to learn from you and fix this mess.
Bingo. So let me continue here, going back to the unanimous declaration, the trust. Now, this is beautiful what they say here, because they're telling you how mankind is. That this is just wonderful what they're saying here. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. People have grown.
They knew it back then, didn't they? They knew it would happen. They knew it.
So what it's doing, it's laying a foundation here. It's telling about man. Telling what we're really generally willing to do, choose the lesser two evils, and we're willing to suffer. Doesn't make it right, but it's basically, it's a beautiful insight. It's a beautiful insight into how mankind gets to where we end up going. And we'll go back to Hill versus Hinkle in a minute.
Well, you know where this comes up, though? You know what I think about with this, where it says, long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Who determines what light and transient causes, like sex, you know, define sex? You know, who determines that?
That's, we do. That, the people.
You know, yeah, exactly.
The people do. In other words, when the people are saying, enough, I'm not willing to suffer that. So if you're not willing to suffer even the slightest little bit, then you say so. You alter and abolish it. You hold them accountable to it.
And you have to have the majority of the constituents of the area, I guess, to agree to that.
Pretty much. But let me also share this.
Yeah.
One time, you know, they built a school, a high school, right across the street, and we had raised issues about the parking and this and that and the other thing. And oh no, we're going to build a big, huge parking lot, and the students they won't. And then I've raised it at the meeting. It was no more than 20 or 30 people there. It was probably a 5,000-10,000 people neighborhood. Only maybe 15 or 20 people were there, but we were still being heard. And I happened to go, and I said, no. I said, then you're going to charge the kids, and the kids are going to park here because they're going to have to be charged, and they would rather park where it's free. Oh, no, we're going to make it for free. Well, of course they lied. They didn't build a big old parking lot, and they started charging the kids. So, of course, the kids came, and they were parking, you know, nose to butt, butt to nose, I mean bumper to bumper, right in front of our house. We couldn't even get out of our driveway sometimes because they didn't care. And then there was cigarette butts everywhere. And then there was cans everywhere, just junk everywhere. Well, I got fed up, so I called. I didn't know this. I called. I said, what do I have to do? Oh, well, you just file this and get a number of signatures on your street, and we'll do it. So I did it. Guess 2 weeks later, there was signs that went up, no parking without a permit. I said, I didn't ask for a permit. So I had to get it rechanged because, see, the county wanted to make money off of it. I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I just put without, if you're not a resident, if you don't live here, resident, if you're not living here, although at the time resident was fine, if, you know, no parking for, unless you live here, unless you're a resident. So it was no parking. So, you know, it was so simple. All I had to do was go around and get like, I don't know, like 50 signatures on a petition, and boom, there it was. Do you know how easy it was to get marijuana?
Be careful, because you don't want a sign that says resident parking, because now you reside there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that at the time, but
there goes that property tax.
Right.
They got it. They said if we can't charge them to park, we're going to charge you property tax. You are now a resident.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. So then I just changed my mind about the way you were going to do it, Colin. Then.
Oh. We better be careful.
Yeah.
I'm going to put everything per Colin.
That's all you do, you know, no parking unless you live here. That's it.
What do you do? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Just change the words.
Oh, okay.
No parking if you don't live here, something to that effect. See, we are creators. We create government. We create a contract. By the way,
unless you have a personal residence here, there's no parking.
That's right. Actually, you want to use the
personal residence.
Private, not personal.
All personal property.
That's right.
Personal
property. Person. The root word person comes from persona. Yes. So if it's personal, then you have personal property taxes, right?
So right. How do you get them to obey that? I mean, if you don't have the permit sign.
You got it, right? They put them up.
Yeah, they put them up.
Did they? Oh, okay. So you changed over to the signs.
Yeah, it didn't cost me a dime. I had to get them to change the signs. Yeah, it didn't cost me a dime.
I gotcha. Gotcha.
That's what you're there for, right? These rights existed
long before he became a resident.
Should understand, he owes nothing to the state since he receives nothing therefrom but the protection of his life and property. So this was a protection of our property. We are entitled to it. It's the same way when I tell the story where, you know, when they try to charge you at the courthouses for copies. You know, they try to charge you $200.
No.
Excuse me, we the people already own the printer. We own the chair you sit in. We own the pens that you're using. And I'm requiring you to make copies of this filing. This is my filing. Make a copy of it. That's what you're here for.
That's right. That's what you get paid for.
That's what my taxes pay you to do.
This one lady in Florida called me up one time. And she said, $350, because I told her to get a certified notarized copy of the entire case. Very important to do because they cheat. They change the record without you knowing. You always want to get copies. So I told her to do that. It's $350. I don't know what to do. I said, well, put them on the phone. 10 minutes later, zero. They didn't charge her anything. And she said, she called me 2 weeks later. She goes, what did you do to these people? I was like, why? She says, every time I walk in here now, there's smiles and how can I help you? What can I do for you?
They didn't want to hear from Colin.
Well,
don't get the man on the phone here.
I won't tell you what I said, but that's my secret. Some things I'll keep secret. But anyway, when you speak with authority.
You keep it secret. We've got your number. We'll call you. Next time we go to the courthouse and they try to charge us. We're calling
for the authority. Well, you know, recently, poor Reba, they were.
You're in trouble, Colin.
Yeah.
he gave his number. He's in big trouble.
I don't do cases hardly anymore, but we need to get to the solution. So let's get through this, the last part here, because it's really important. This trust. Remember, this is a trust. This is a last will and testament. This is a trust. Anything.
Are we still on a unanimous declaration? The unanimous declaration?
Yes. Anything derived from this trust has to follow the principles of this trust. Okay? Otherwise, it's a breach of this trust. So the Constitution has failed. So let's go on. Now, I want you to recognize that the first part, it says, whenever any form of government, I can't even find it, whenever any form of government becomes destructive, these ends right the people to alter policy, institute new government, lays foundation on such principles and organize its powers in such form, sometimes it seems most likely to effective safety and happiness. But notice the second part. After the insight into humanity there, that they're more willing to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing, that was the who's in charge, the forms to which they've grown accustomed. But here's what it says.
Yeah.
But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, which means to undermine, pursuing and verifying the same object. So Somebody's making noise on there. Pursuing invariably the same object evinces or evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. To be a despot.
Please mute. Hold on, Colin. Please mute your phone. Some of you don't have your phone muted. Trump won the election, joined us today. I like that one.
He did.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, he's here. Go ahead.
The despotism. To be a despot, which basically means to be subject to. See, it's repeating the same thing three times, four times, five times. But an object evinces a design, evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right. What is the next thing say? It is their
duty.
Now, trust me, on every one of these things that I'm accentuating was a week or two sometimes, prayer and research. This is why I started going, where does this duty come from? Where does this duty come from? That's when I started to realize that we had a duty. Why? Because it's our creation. That which we create, we are subject and we are liable for it, what it does. We have a duty to eliminate it, to stop it, to make it not happen. Again, what does it say? He owes nothing to the public so long as he does not trespass upon his rights. Well, if I create something that trespasses on somebody, if I hire somebody who trespasses on it, then I've done it. I have a duty to stop my agents. I have a duty to stop my bicycle, my car, whatever it is, my association, my group, my church. I have a duty to make sure that it doesn't harm other people. It doesn't trespass on their rights. Or allow or cause or promote for that.
And we're at that point where a long train of abuses and interruptions have happened. I mean, that's where we're at, unfortunately.
Absolutely. That's the reason I'm making this point, and I'm making another point, too. I want you to see this. Notice the first time it said that, and to institute new government. What does it say the second time? It is their right.
Throw off the government.
It is their right. It is their duty. Notice the term. It does not say overthrow because overthrow is unlawful. It says to throw off as having full authority to throw off a raincoat when the sun comes out and a raincoat becomes too hot or the raincoat becomes leaky. When it no longer is providing the service that you created it to provide, you literally throw it off having full authority. The words that they use are so precise. Because you hear people say, oh.
Colin, you know what scares me about this part is that whole conspiring clause. You know, if two or more people conspire against the government, you know?
Okay. Yeah, you got to let me finish the whole thought, and then we go. Then we could go and hold those questions or statements, because otherwise, ow! Sorry, sharp claw just hit me. This little booger just got me, man.
Did you?
No, he didn't bite me. His claw got me. He's jumping up on me. He wants entertainment. All right. Where was I? It is their right. It is their duty to throw off. This is extremely important.
He needs a washer. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's so cute. He just wants to play all the time. To throw off is a very important term. Because it indicates that you have full authority to throw it off. To overthrow a government means that the government is legitimate and you are overthrowing it, that which is legitimate. To throw off is because you, for whatever reason, you have the full authority to do so. Okay? To throw off such government, and watch this next part, and to provide new guards for their future security. It does not say in this tense, this time, to create a new government. Remember that the founders thought that government was a necessary evil because they could barely conceive that all men are created equal. This whole thing up here, they couldn't even conceive of this. This had to be done by prayer. This is God's word. So the last part now, I'm sure that when they wrote this, they were going, what? They're scratching their heads going, okay, whatever you say, God, I'll write it down. Because they thought government was necessary, although they had experienced life without government. They had experienced life being self-governed because England had abandoned them. There was no rule, there was no law, nothing. It was just them and nature, nature and nature's God. So they had some of this sight because God gave it to them through their experiences, as well as, I believe, divine word, both. They had to have the experience to be open to it. So since they could not conceive of life without government, but at some point, I think they thought, well, maybe man will figure out, we've come this far, maybe man or God will reveal to us how we can do without government. And we will then, what, provide new guards for our future security. And I find this most fascinating, and I find this most encouraging that we, I believe, are at that place in time, almost, not quite, which is why continued competency training is the interim, that we have the right and the duty to alter before we abolish. So to alter it, I look at it this way, that like the Hubble telescope was blind, multi-million dollar, up in space, no good. It was blind because of a simple mistake. They didn't give up. What they did is they altered it. They put up a corrective lens, and the thing is beautiful, better than ever expected. This is what I believe where we are today. And it's based on the foundation. You know, we always talk about the pyramid, the all-seeing eye at the top of the pyramid. Well, what God showed me is this. The pyramid, see, everyone's all worried about, oh, the top of the pyramid, the top of the pyramid. Well, what does it say in Scripture? You cut off the head, two more will come back, or three more, whatever it is. Everyone's got it all backwards. It's upside down. The foundation of the pyramid, if the foundation of the pyramid moves, everything above the foundation moves with it, doesn't it? What is the foundation of the pyramid? That's us. So when the people, where we go one, we go all. When the foundation, that's why the legislation of continued competency training is not aimed at getting rid or not aimed at removing only the top people. No, this is having the basic fundamental people at the base knowledgeable, understanding, and wanting the laws to be implemented. Once knowing the law, they now will hold their supervisors accountable. There will no longer be, as I always say, a dictator can only dictate so long as his dictates are obeyed. So if no one's obeying the dictator can't dictate. And that's what they are. They're dictators. They're bullies. So when the bully, what do? When you press back, when the bully goes, wah, 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 and you go and smack him in the face real quick, guess what he does? And he runs away. One thing bullies scare, fearful more than anything else is pushback. But, and I've seen this happen. I mean, actually I've had this happen in certain government entities where the lower level people, I educated all of them and they sat there and stood right there and said, no, I'm not going to commit crimes on your behalf anymore. And if you keep it up, I'm going to report you. And everybody stood up and said, yeah, me too, me too, me too, me too. That's all it takes. And those evil, the evil will leave because it's no longer for, what is it? The only thing that evil needs to prosper is for good men to do nothing. And as I say, I would rather ask for forgiveness for doing too much than have to ask forgiveness for doing nothing. And there it is. So if we institute continued competency training, let's give it a shot. Let's let our government, let everything work in on to benefit the people. Once people understand that everything that's created by man is to benefit man, all corporations, no more profit, no more of this, no more of this Wall Street garbage. And I knew pretty much a fair amount about that. I mean, I actually turned $2,000 into $48,000 in a matter of 3 days. Because I created an algorithm, but that algorithm proved I actually, during that period of time, I actually watched the whole system being corrupted and actually spent $15,000 to prove to my broker that it was corrupt. And I said, here, watch, take everything out of my account except for $4,000, and I'm going to run without any stop and see what happens. Sure enough, they took everything out except for the amount I needed to keep the account open. I said, see, then I put $4,000 in again. I said, now let's do it this way, and let's do it that way. He's like, holy crap, I wouldn't have believed it. And then I was paying $5,000 a month, $5,000 a month for a live feed. And it wasn't until things went, I was like, what is going on? My algorithm I know is good. What is going on here? And then finally, after I twisted somebody's arm, they go, oh, well, there's a 30-second delay. There's no such, if you're not a member, you know, if anyone's seen Trading Places or whatever it is, that movie was great. It gave the best explanation about the stock exchange. Only those who have a chair on the stock exchange get a live feed. So they got 30 seconds with a computer. 30 seconds, Miles, would be 3 days. And when you do that's like microsecond trading. You'll see it for yourself. They'll come down and get your stop and run right back up again. So anyway, I know a little bit about what I'm talking about there. And then it was like 2 years later, the stock market. They completely took over the stock market. It's complete facade. The mortgage industry is complete. It's security fraud. Real quick, who has a mortgage? Anybody?
Yes and no. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a real simple question. Do you recall receiving anything of substance or value in your hand, your bank account, or somebody else on your behalf, such as a seller, before you signed and delivered the instrument to the agent? Yes or no?
No.
If you didn't receive anything before you signed and delivered the instrument, then how on earth can you return something you didn't receive? Go look at your note. Never met you, never looked at your instrument. What does it say? And they all say the same thing. In return for a loan I have received. Past tense, comma, I promise to pay. That's called a condition precedent. The condition precedent was not met, was it?
Interesting.
No.
So it's not. Now, if it's a contract, how many contracts?
Say that one more time.
Did you receive anything of substance or value in your hand, your bank account, or somebody else on your behalf before you signed and delivered the instruments to the agent?
Only the promise of delivery. Other than that, no.
No, you're the one who made the promise. In return,
I made the promise to pay for it if they delivered it to me. Yes, but no, nothing.
Oh,
I got nothing before.
No. You look. Don't put words where they aren't. Read what is there. In return for a loan I have received, comma, I promise to pay. That's it. That is a contract. It is. Well, it's more than that. It's actually, if you go look at the bottom, it's a security instrument. That's why they're engaged in counterfeiting instruments. Now, they have that instrument all filled out before you signed it. Did they not? Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
So what was necessary for that instrument to have value then? What was waiting to give that instrument value?
The keys, I would assume.
Your signature.
No, the money.
The signature. Can you deposit
my signature? Yes.
Can you deposit a negative into an account? No. So why did you just deposit why didn't they just deposit that instrument into the bank? Because they couldn't without a creditor signature. Let's try it again, believers. You do believe God, right? God created everything?
Yeah.
Let's look at it. Let's look at it realistically. God created all these universes. Billions and trillions of them, so much that he can paint with them. They're nothing but pixels. Whole universes are pixels. Okay? And out of all these billions and trillions of universes that God paints with, there happens to be one tiny little sun that happens to have planets running around it at just the right distance and has one planet which happens to have water in it in all three forms, solid, liquid, and gas or vapor. It happens to be spinning. It is just the right speed. It happens to be a tilted axis. It happens to have a moon to create waves and tides, to create weather, to create an atmosphere that has birds that fly and seed and plants and da-da-da-da-da. And what did God do with it? He gave it to us. Everything is already ours. How the heck can you possibly be a debtor? How can you possibly be a borrower?
I agree. Who gave them the right to sell it to us?
I agree.
I'm making a point. It's not about agreeing. It's making a point. If you look at it, they had that piece of paper all filled out, except it was missing one thing, and that was a signature. If it was a contract, how many signatures must be on a contract? At least two. There's only one, yours. Unless there's two people, but you're still signing on the same side. So who took on the obligations and duties of the lender? Go to the next line. What does it say? Anyone, that's human, anyone who takes, that's a legal term, to take, anyone who takes this instrument by transfer, that tells you the only way that it can be done, it can be taken, is by transfer, not by assignment. Anyone who takes this note by transfer and is entitled to payments under the note shall be called the, quote, note holder. They never come into court under the note holder because they're not the note holder. They come in as holder of the note. Well, that's not what's in the note. Look, if you got a $100 bill, even a high school kid knows to sit there and look at through the light and see if it has that security strip, and they take a pen out and check it, right? That's for a $100 bill. So where are the security strips, and where's the security instrument and the 15 different types of paper and ink that's on one of these $100, $200, $300, $500,000 instruments? Where's the security instrument? It's in the wording. It's in the wording. Where is the security in this unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America? In the wording.
Mm-hmm.
This is contract law. Anyone who works under any form of government after this point, I don't care whether it's Articles of Confederation, I don't care if it's a constitutional form of government, I don't care if it's a Republican, it doesn't matter. They are all subject to these principles. They have to follow these principles. Any form of government which becomes destructive of these ends. It's clear. This is the contract. This is the security. This is the law that we stand on.
Amen.
That's a good point to close.
Yeah, I need to run anyway. So do you guys close with prayer, or how do you guys want to roll this?
Yeah, I want to close with a prayer. Lord, thank you.
Colin?
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for the open minds, and thank you for the willingness, and thank you for those who have been woken up and taking it in. And Lord, I ask that all of this take root. And that it be the spirit, not so much necessarily the details, but the concept and principles take root. And that it come forth like the mustard seed, that it come forth and that it changes their wording and changes the way that they look at things, changes the way they phrase things and describe things. And allow them to spread it. Let it spread like a wildfire to all those around. And to be more precise is to come and gather together. And let us have houses of worship as we worship you. Let us be the holy temple that you would have us. And let us profess with our mouth that which is truth, that you are the Lord and the Savior. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, thank you. So shall it be. Without objection, in Christ's name, then
it is so.
Hallelujah.
So shall it be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Colin.
Thank you, Colin. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Great call.
Thank you, Colin. Do you have more to share,
If anyone wants, Colin? If anyone wants to ask questions, that's fine. I just thought it was a good place to end that section, and I guess we can open up to question and answers if you want. That's fine. Whatever.
Oh no! I mean, everybody needs to go, but I'm saying, do you want to come back next Thursday?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you tell me, I'm available 24/7. This is all I do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if anybody wants to come back, he'll be on next Wednesday. Next Thursday at 7 p.m. Central.
Yeah. Just remind me again. Yeah. This is great. And get more people.
Yes, I will.
Better. The more people, the less time I have to repeat it.
Well, guess what? Today was the largest.
Oh.
We had 12.
Woohoo!
I think.
Wow. Great.
Yeah, that's 12.
I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed being on the call with y'all. I really did. And Colin, you are just so full of knowledge. I cannot wait to get it out there in a way people can understand it easy, you know?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. I'll let you guys go, and then we will talk next Thursday. You can communicate with me through the email, Continued Competency. If you don't have the documents, and if you haven't read them, read them. They're highlighted for a reason so that you don't have to read all the arduous stuff in between and pray. Always, always, always pray. Just like when you read scripture, you must pray first so the Holy Spirit can allow you to see what you're supposed to see.
Yes. And if anybody feels to give a donation, you can send it to that email, right, Colin?
Oh dear, that's going to be the truthmonger6@gmail.com. I'm sorry. I haven't made one yet, but I will.
Oh, I'm confused. Okay, I get confused.
Okay.
All right.
I was supposed to make one, and I've been so busy with these other cases, you know.
That's okay.
So if anyone, I don't even think about it. If someone wants to donate, that'd be wonderful. Truthmonger6@gmail.com. TRUTHMONGER, number6@gmail.com. I have a PayPal. That's for PayPal. Other than that, if you want to, I don't know how else to do it. That's the only thing I have is a PayPal account. I hadn't even thought about it. If you want to send,
it should be enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to send something through the mail, then just contact me by email, and I'll give you my address.
Yes. Yes, we never know.
I know I should.
No, I don't think you should. They could email you right there at Truthmonger or what's the other one?
Continued Competency is the one that I'm doing over under. The other one, truthmonger6@gmail.com, that's my private, quote-unquote, private email. And that,
okay.
So if it has to do with continued competency, if it has to do, which for me, that's what this is about.
Right.
Hey, is there a way to ever do these calls on Zoom or something?
I'm open to setting it up. I did a couple on Red Pill, and I used to do Skype, but the reason I don't do Zoom, I'm hooking up on, what's it called? Not Gab. Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. And we're going to be
doing... MeWe?
Rumble? Oh, DLive.
No, hold on.
Oh, Eli, there's a new one called MeWe also.
Yeah, let me see.
There's so many. Hey, Colin, they're popping up out of the woodwork. Yeah.
Colin, you have time to talk for a minute after this is over?
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me get this up and show you where I'm going to be. It's called, what is it called here? Come on, dude, find it. It's not.
Is it the one that you sent?
Discord.
The Foxhole app?
Yeah, I got this one app with this other lady. We're going to try to set things up to do things through Discord. We're going to see if we can actually record them or not, the video. But if any, I'm not going to use Zoom because it's CCP, which is the Chinese Communist Party.
CCP runs Zoom?
Yeah. Well,
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's connected to. It's a CCP. Look, anything that is related to China in any way, I've already read it. China requires any business that has any dealings in China has to. You know, like they have, you know, the rules and regulations when you sign onto a website, that they are subject to Chinese oversight, which means that...
I don't know. What is the streaming platform besides Gab that isn't then?
Like I said, Gab and this one here, which is called Discord, DISCORD.com, and it's really...
Yeah, well, yeah, Discord totally, I mean, they deplatformed me. I mean, they take me completely off Discord. I mean, I got back on, but they erased everything I had. Everything.
Why?
I had that name change. Remember, we had all the states listed and then all the cities that people could gather, and they wiped it out, didn't want it, wouldn't let us do it, wouldn't let us gather.
Okay, well, we have to talk more about that, because if Discord is not a are you saying that they were censoring you?
Yes. They wiped off a lot of people from Discord.
Okay, well, then
a lot of big accounts. They had big followers.
Well, I don't know where to go. If anyone has an idea where to go, where it's not controlled and not censored, then, you know, let's find it. Let's do it.
The Foxhole dot, the Foxhole app.
I'll tell you, I'm tired, and this is I do the research on this stuff, and I share that with you. And for me to go and do all the technical stuff, then I'd have to shift away from doing that, and I'd become a
producer. Let's not ask if you have time to talk after this. We can talk about that so I can work on it for you.
Yeah, let's talk tomorrow. I'm tired. I've been going at it all day since 5 this morning, so.
Yeah, I know. I just got a couple of questions I need to ask you so I can put this together and start talking to the people I need to talk to.
All right, well, let's talk.
I got a busy day.
All right, let's talk off on the call then. If anyone has any other way other than Gab, and I've signed on to Gab, but I don't know if you can do the share and the recording or not. The whole key is to record this so we can get it to as many people as possible.
You can do it on free conference calls.
Say again?
You can do it on free conference calls. They have video.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Are they controlled and censored?
Free conference calls.
All right, well, I'll look into that. Thank you, Ida. I'll talk to you later about that. I'm exhausted. I'm going to go, guys.
Oh, yes. Thank you. God bless you, and thank you again, Colin.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Blessings.